Hi, everyone, and welcome to North Shore High School Football on MSONewsSports.com. I'm Bill Newell, along with Marty Smith and Tim Kearns, for tonight's broadcast between Danvers and Lynn Classical High School. Both teams are coming into tonight's game at 4-0, although this is not necessarily a league game as such, because Danvers is in the Tier 1, Classical in the driver's seat, undefeated in the Tier 2 in the Northeastern Conference. The Falcons are home tonight. Their defense has been incredible all year long, while Classical's defense has also been very strong this year. And their coach, if you look on our post, Coach Brian Vaughn picked up the Patriot Coach of the Week honors as they're off to that 4-0 start. Now, just ahead on our pregame show, we'll hear from both coaches, Brian Vaughn from Lynn Classical and Coach Ryan Nolan, who was on the Monday night North Shore Sports Night show with Rick Moore and Tim Kern. So stay with us. All that coming up just ahead here on MSONewsSports.com.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender. MSONewsSports.com is your connection to North Shore news and sports. Local video and radio interviews, photos, and much more. And a daily local radio newscast on North Shore Today.
This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, joined by Brian Vaughn, head football coach at Lynn Classical High School. And Brian, before we talk about this week's game and the team and so on, congratulations to you winning that Patriots Weekly Coaches Award here in Massachusetts. And Andre Tippett came up this week and presented you with the award.
Yeah, that was an honor. I'm actually humbled and honored for that award. But overall, that award represents, it's more of a team award. And I say that because it just shows the fact that the coaches are working hard, the players are working hard, the staff is working hard. So that I take that as a team award, and you know, it's just, you know, I'm humbled by it.
Yeah, I know in our football post we got some pictures of that in it. Those pictures are all different people in them with the award and so on, and it exemplifies what you just said right there of all the different people contributing to make this happen. Coach, 4-0 right now. You're going to meet another undefeated team, just like the scenario last weekend, this time in Danvers this Friday night. So, you know, give me the thinking of your coaching staff, yourself, and the team as you head into these games, and maybe the growing confidence, or what's the outlook?
Well, you know, I think the way we approach it is, you know, we just want to get better every day. You know, last week was a tough game. I expect to be in the same type of fight this week against a really, really good Danvers team. You know, they're undefeated for a reason, because they're good players, and they have a great coaching staff over there. So you know, our goal is just to go out there, put our kids in a position to be successful, prepare them as much as possible, and take it one day at a time, you know, one practice at a time, and we go from there.
I know statistically, Danvers, I've not seen Danvers, but statistically their defense is very formidable. So what can you tell me about them?
I think their defense is playing lights out. If you watch them on film, you know, they're scary. And, you know, obviously they're doing a very good job on defense. And that's a credit to their kids and their coaching staff.
And I know you, the reports from Classical's defense last week in Gloucester were all very good as well, as you were able to get to the football. And I understand, I didn't hear all of the broadcasts, but I know on the telecast that Pauling was very impressed with your guys' efforts defensively.
Our defense is playing really well right now, like I said, but our goal for us is to get better every day, and that's something we stress, and we take it from there.
What is it that, is there something, there are two things that you're working on for this week that to get better at, or is it just generally just get better at everything?
We just want to generally get better and clean up, you know, the stuff that we do on both sides of the ball and special teams. You know, we don't do a lot of things, so we want to perfect the things that we do do. We want to get good at those small things that we do do.
Maybe a final question or two, Coach, but mentioning a name or two on a player on offense or defense, as the team has come together now after the preseason, after the four games, the 4-0, what are some names and roles of players that have kind of, you know, not only solidifying, but solidifying in a very positive way for you?
Well, you know, I also, you know, no one really talks about it, but I think our running back, Malcolm Becks, has been doing an outstanding job for us. He catches the bulk of our carries, and he's, you know, through the first four games, he's been helping us be successful with the stuff that we want to do with that. And then on defense, I would have to say guys like Dennis Pierce, Chase Bono, Marisa Cuera, and newcomer first-year player Darrell Rucker, who's in our secondary. They're doing outstanding jobs on defense. Yeah.
And finally, last question, let me direct it right at your quarterback, Keith Ridley, who, you know, I've seen a couple of your games this year. Tell me about how he has evolved since the start of the year, being a first-year starter here.
Well, I think we talked about this before. I think what helps Keith so much is that, you know, he's a study. He loves to study the game. He loves being in the film room, and he's always looking for an advantage that's going to put himself in a position to make plays. Or, you know, that's one thing with him. He's definitely a student of the game, and he goes all out with that. And I think that gives him a little bit of advantage.
Gotcha. All right, Coach, good luck to you this Friday night in Danvers. Great talking with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Brian Vaughn, head football coach at Lynn Classical High School, with us. I'm Bill Newell on MSO News Sports.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Compelling exhibits, thought-provoking programs, all celebrating Lynn's past while promoting a vision for its future. I'm Drew Russo, Executive Director of the Lynn Museum and Lynn Arts, and I invite you to visit our campus located in the heart of the downtown Lynn Cultural District, with galleries at 590 Washington Street and 25 Exchange Street. Currently, we are featuring the Vision Place of Souls, Civil War landscapes by local artist Jeff Fioravanti, through December 22nd at the museum, and rotating shows from local artists in the Lynn Arts Gallery. We're open Tuesdays to Fridays 10 to 4 and Saturdays 9 to 1. Visit us online at lynnmuseum.org.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
The following is a paid political announcement from Lynn City Councilor-at-Large, Brian LaPierre.
Since I have been elected, we have made progress. The city is growing, but there is much work to still do. Small businesses are flourishing. We've created local jobs and continue to fight for working families all across Lynn. I have responded personally to over 1,000 constituent requests, but the work doesn't stop there. We need to keep our streets safer and our neighborhoods cleaner. We have to maintain our public services while keeping taxes affordable. The people of Lynn deserve a high level of representation. I am Brian LaPierre, and I'm running for re-election for Lynn City Councilor at Large, and I respectfully ask for one of your four votes on Tuesday, November 7th.
MSO NewsSports.com, MSO Radio.
All right, we're back now with Danvers High School football coach Ryan Nolan. And coach, congratulations, 4-0, not a bad start.
No, I'm very happy. You know, the kids have worked hard, and you know, we're real fortunate to be at that spot right now. So, you know, can't do much better. I'm really excited, and, you know, it's a good start to the year.
Tell me a little bit about the Malden game, Coach. Maybe just kind of some of the highlights for your guys.
I think that we played good, fundamental, solid football. Justin Mullaney, our quarterback, got an opportunity to kind of break out a little and throw three touchdown passes, which was great. And we had a bunch of young kids step up, too. We mixed in some of our sophomores and second-team players a little bit earlier, and they came out and they really competed well, and a lot of them made some big plays. So we're really happy with the performance, how the kids conducted themselves. We played hard, and we feel as though we're building a little bit of depth, too, and the young kids stepped up and performed well.
Yeah, Coach Ingram was saying it's not only important for the kids, when you can get the younger kids in, for them to, you know, to pick up some game experience, but it's also good for practice, you know, the following week, because the kids feel more invested in that. And have you found that, or do you think that's, you know, that's part of what goes on?
Well, I think it's great to give them the opportunity. I think one of the other things, too, it goes hand in hand, is we've got a group of young kids that go on the scout teams, the look teams, that have really, you know, worked really hard this year, and we've been real fortunate at Danvers to have kids that have worked really hard in those groups the last 4 years. So when those kids get an opportunity, they get them better every day in practice, and they get caught on the field, and they show how hard they've worked and the improvement they've made. And the other kids who are sometimes the starters really understand what they do day in, day out to get our team ready on game nights, and they really want to support those kids and really happy when they do well.
Coach, you scored the second most points in the conference, 119 to Swampscott. It's absolutely mind-blowing, 173 points. But you've only given up 8 points in 4 games. I mean, the level of defensive intensity that these guys are bringing every play is just awesome.
Really happy with that. I'm really happy that kids are playing unselfish, and the biggest reason we've been able to do that is that they've really worked in practice on the fundamentals. We spend a lot of time on both sides of the ball with individuals working on the little things, and these kids are invested in that, understand it matters. And when you have all those kids that are unselfish and everyone's playing with good technique and they know what they're doing, you know, you do a good job, and these kids certainly have been doing that.
You know, it would appear that you're forcing teams to play between the 20s and not giving them any opportunities in the red zone.
You know, fortunately, we haven't had too many times they moved the ball down there, but that's also a product of our offense running the ball well. Special teams put us in situations where teams aren't getting the ball at midfield, inside that territory, where they can go foot on fourth down and change their mindset of how they call plays. So we've been fortunate to be in positions where we have pretty good field position. So if we go three and out, teams aren't going to go for it. And the kids have, you know, taken that opportunity and done a good job defensively.
Coach, can you mention a kid who that you recognize has played solid and steady, but maybe the fans, Joe Fan, doesn't recognize that? Because, you know, obviously the skill players always get the credit. But is there anybody that you could credit and saying, okay, you've done well?
There's so many kids, especially when you have a good team performance, that do that. A couple that just pop into my head right now is sophomore Wallfield for us, who starts at center and at D-line and has just done a tremendous job for us. We have another freshman start at guard, Cronus, who's doing very, very well. Justin DiDomaso, great job. Andrew Brennan, who's a senior, who's a tough kid, works hard, doing a great job on both sides of the ball. Vargas. Really, we've had almost everyone stepped up across the board, and tremendous effort and understanding where they fit. So I feel bad. I'm going to leave a lot of kids that really have done some great things out, but that's a couple of them. It's really been a good group.
Yeah, I always hesitate asking that because I know some coaches don't want to single out a particular kid for a reason. I mean, you know, you got to work with these kids every single day. But then on the other hand, some of these kids don't get any mention at all. You know, and you want to cover it. Coach, your first year as head coach, this is going to be a weird question, but have you had to make any adjustments, let's say, since you got the job, since preseason started, and now, you know, with your everyday practices, any adjustments for you?
You know, it's just trying not to spread yourself too thin and make sure you take care of all the details. There's so many things that go into it, and, you know, you have to do a good job of delegating, and it makes it really easy when you have really good people coach around you, which I'm really fortunate to have. So I think it's just that every day, all those details of phone calls and things like that, take care of that and don't spread yourself too thin that you're not taking care of the football stuff. But every day is a challenge, and every day, personally, I learn something. So, you know, I'm sure I'm going to have plenty of other adjustments to make. But we've been going with it and seeing what works and meeting every week to see how we can do it better as a staff. So we're going to continue to do that.
Okay, let's get to classical.
As compared to Malden, Edward Bazier was probably their biggest threat, and I was so impressed with that kid's speed and ability to get to the outside. But Classical is going to bring skilled positions, quarterbacks, receivers, the running backs, they're big and strong up front. And on the flip side, and they're not turning it over. And on the flip side, defensively, again, they're big and strong, and they're fast. They get to the ball, and they've been really short tackling, which has been one of the big surprises to me this year, having covered Classical and Ingalls over the last probably 5 years on Friday nights, is the lack of turnovers and the intensity in their tackling.
I mean, they're fantastic with the athletes and size and speed. And I thought you were just going to talk about their skill position, but if you look at their linemen, they're big, athletic, tough kids as well. So across the board, they're a solid football team. They don't have any flaws. But I think the biggest thing with them, too, is, you know, fundamentally, they're really sound. They work really hard. You can see everything from how the kids line up for special teams, and we go and we scout them, and everyone's taking a knee around the coach. They're all very bought in. I think Coach Vaughn and his staff have done a great job over there. And, you know, you see the speed and you see the size and you see all these other things, but really the attention to detail and the fundamentals they're showing and how they're doing things is, you know, one of the top teams in the league. They're doing a great job in every aspect.
And certainly Ridley coming over from St. Mary's and slotting into that the quarterback position, 6'3", 215. He can see over the line. He's got great vision. He's got great arm strength. He's not afraid to pull it down and to take off with it under the design runs. I mean, he just executes them so quick that he gets to that second level, and he's tough to bring down.
Oh, I mean, he's a good athlete. He's got a great arm, and he's bigger than any lineman we have. So, I mean, he's got a lot going for him, and they've got a great system as well with him in there, and he does a great job. And, you know, it's tough to stop when they have so many weapons and they've got a solid line and they're really well coached.
Well, Coach, good luck this week. We'll be there on Friday night, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Roger Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
A great way to monitor what's happening on the North Shore? Get the MSO News Sports app. A click here, a click there, you're listening or watching North Shore football. And check out the latest stories on our webpage, msonewsports.com.
There we go.
Okay, the whole thing's out.
Much better.
Good evening from Morse Field and Dr. Deering Stadium in Danvers. I'm Marty Smith alongside Tim Kearns and Bill Newell, where we have high school football
between the Lynn Classical Rams and the Danvers Falcons. And, Tim, when we were first looking at the schedule and putting it together back in September, back in August, if either of us had said that both of these teams would be undefeated this late into the season, both conference and non-conference, people would say we were crazy.
Well, there were so many questions coming into end of the season for both teams. Danvers had lost an awful lot of seniors. They had two returners coming back, so you had a lot of sub-varsity and second stringers and third stringers, the expectation to step up and fill in that gap. And there's always that learning curve that the new players have before they really get into the swing of things, so to speak. But Davis hit the ground running and hasn't stopped running. Classical, always big, always physical, always talented, faster than ever. That first game of the season that Bill and I did, we could not believe how fast they were. And they're just not making those classical mistakes, you know.
And
that's the difference.
And we've seen each of these teams. I've seen them once. We saw Danvers and Peabody, it was an entertaining game, despite the fact I think it was 6-3 or something. It was very low scoring. And then the one time that I've seen Classical was in that pouring rain, the high wind, so I haven't seen Classical in their full offensive package. So we'll be looking forward to that one. Danvers will have the football to start the contest tonight. Here, the weather tonight coming into this game is more like an early September. It was in the high 60s when we got to the site here tonight, and that will make it a very comfortable night in Danvers. Coming up next, the opening kickoff of tonight's football game on MSONewsSports.com.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Compelling exhibits, thought-provoking programs, all celebrating Lynn's past while promoting a vision for its future. I'm Drew Russo, Executive Director of the Lynn Museum and Lynn Arts, and I invite you to visit our campus located in the heart of the downtown Lynn Cultural District with galleries at 590 Washington Street and 25 Exchange Street. Currently, we are featuring the Vision Place of Souls, Civil War landscapes by local artist Jeff Fioravanti through December 22nd at the museum, and rotating shows from local artists in the Lynn Arts Gallery. We're open Tuesdays to Fridays 10 to 4 and Saturdays 9 to 1. Visit us online at lynnmuseum.org.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
The following is a paid political announcement from Lynn City Councilor at Large, Brian LaPierre.
Since I have been elected, we have made progress. The city is growing, but there is much work to still do. Small businesses are flourishing. We've created local jobs and continue to fight for working families all across Lynn. I have responded personally to over 1,000 constituent requests, but the work doesn't stop there. We need to keep our streets safer and our neighborhoods cleaner. We have to maintain our public services while keeping taxes affordable. The people of Lynn deserve a high level of representation. I am Brian LaPierre, and I'm running for re-election for Lynn City Councilor at Large, and I respectfully ask for one of your four votes on Tuesday, November 7th.
Zach Dillon's kick is fielded cleanly up at the 35 and up to the 40, the 41, the 42-yard line for Chase Wono, and that is where the Lynn Classical Rams will go on offense, first and 10, as they move from our right to our left. And they will work from the far hash mark. Clear sky, some high wispy clouds over on the horizon. Tim, my first time of working here since this facility has been built. What a gorgeous place.
Yeah, it really is. Great sight lines for up here. We're not too high, we're not too low, so...
Ridley finds Butler near sideline, up to the 43-44. He'll stay in bounds, drop down on that. The tackle made by the Danvers Falcons, Russell Canova.
That really would be the key, I think, as always, for Plattsburgh tonight. 6'3", 215. Done a great job since coming over here. Real smart. Runs only when he has to.
No huddle offense. The snap back to Ridley. Again, pitches out to Butler on the far side. This time he is going to be at wrestled down and dropped for a loss back to the 42. And I think I saw, first I think I saw a flag, and the Falcons are indicating that they have stripped the football. And I may be wrong on both counts.
I think what you saw was a football going across the far side. I thought it was a flag as well. Until I saw a Jameis player over there catching it. Surprising offensive play selection for Classical. The first two plays here that resulted in a 2-yard gain and a 6-yard loss.
Yeah, second and call it 14. Again, the direct snap back to Ridley. This time there's a flag fired over the middle that is complete to the 50-yard line, taken there by Adam Washington. But I don't think this is going to go. If it does go, it goes to the 49 of Danvers. And here's the...
Well, it's either procedure or offside. And one referee was pointing one way. Let's see. There it is, procedure.
Procedure against Lynn Classical Rams. Takes away what was a nice 12-yard pickup back up to midfield and is going to push them back 5 more yards.
Well, not the anticipated start Coach Vaughn saw for his offense. I thought they might have gone to power football right away just to establish the run to get the Danvers linebackers pulled up a little bit that Ridley can then throw over the top of.
Ridley sees over the top of everybody when he's just standing back there. He's one tall human being. Here's the direct snap again. On third down, throwing long and deep, and there's nobody there in a white jersey. And the intended receiver was Butler, but he was triple covered back there, and ball was batted down by Tash Coakley with assist to Colby Holland, and it will be fourth down. The ball is at the 32-yard line, and they need to get to the 48 the other way. So
like
punting situation.
Little,
yep.
Looked like there was a little mix-up between him and number eight. Adam Washington, as they got around the 40-yard line, and then Adam Washington sort of drifted into the middle of the field.
Yep, they're going to go for it on fourth and about 20, call it. Now here's the punt. Nope, hangs on to it, can't get the punt off, and with it is Butler. Butler runs sideline far side, and he's pushed out of bounds at the 34-yard line.
That was a rather definitive stop along the far sideline.
So good field position for the Falcons. They did line up and they started in punt formation. They cheated back and made it look like Mullaney was going to check that Ridley was going to throw. Danvers, the punt receiving team, crept back in. Then
that was an awful long snap to make, and that allowed Danvers to get pressure that he couldn't get to kick off.
Yep. So Danvers with the football on the Classical 34-yard line, far hash mark as they move left to right. 9:24 clock stopped here in the first quarter in a scoreless football game between two undefeated teams. This, however, is not a conference game, so it doesn't have any impact in the playoff matchups. Mullaney with the backs in the eye behind him. Pretty conventional. Here's Mullaney handing off to the tail. That's Coakley. On his feet, still Holland on the left-hand side, and he gets close to first down yardage. Put him down at the 25-yard line.
Good hard-determined rush running there by Holland. He got wrapped up as he got to the beginning of the second layer, but he just kept kicking the legs, and he eventually pulled out of it for substantial, was it, 8.5-yard gain there. Again, Danvers' defense has to be extremely fired up after having that initial stop against the Rams there.
Second and a short two for the Falcons, with Mullaney again under center, Tom Walfield. Looking, flag on the play, handoff again. This time to not Holland. That's Coakley coming right side, runs the sideline, into the five, into the end zone, touchdown. But there is a flag at the snap of the football.
Now, it's either going to be motion or offside. And if I'm not correct, when we had Classical in the rain, didn't they have several offside calls on them?
Yes.
So one of the defensive end, it's going against Danvers. You can see a couple of players expressing dismay. But there was one Classical lineman who kept putting his hand into the neutral zone, and he got flagged on it three times in total, but two times in a row during that game. But against Beverly, was that the Beverly game we saw them?
I don't know. They're running together.
I think it was Beverly because the wind was howling all over the place.
Zach Dillon gets the answer, not the one he wanted, and it is second down and now seven as the 32-yard touchdown run for Tash Coakley comes back. They'll hand it off again to Coakley. This time he wants to go through the middle of the line. There is zero running room there for him. He's brought down by Dylan Fook.
Yeah, good stuff there in the middle of the Lynn Classical defensive line. So Coakley's almost a guy you almost have to mark, because he's proved that talented, and he proved it last year, and he's doing nothing to lessen his value this year. He's strong. He's big. He's strong. He's quick. He can pull out of tackles.
Third and seven. Again with the backs in the eye. This time Coakley split wide to the right. End tight on the left side. Rolling back to pass is Mullaney. Looks for Coakley in the sideline. It's incomplete. Good pressure taken there by the Classical Rams. And that is Daryl Rucker, who forced him out of bounds on the near sideline.
Yeah, you got to be a little careful when you decide to shove somebody. He was clearly out of play when the Classical defender put two hands on his back and gave him the good shove and sent him rolling.
So now fourth down in Classical territory for the Danvers Falcons. The ball's on the 31 between the two hash marks. They need to get to the 24. So fourth and seven. Deep drop for Mullaney. Takes the snap. It's a little high. Has time to throw. Unloads it into traffic, and it's incomplete. Coakley, the intended receiver, went up with the ball, as did Rucker. The two of them are very well matched size-wise and speed-wise. We saw that on the last pass to Coakley, and this time Rucker got him, bumped him just as he went after it. So in pretty much the same place where Classical gave the ball up on downs, the Falcons do exactly the same thing.
So no harm, no foul on that exchange.
Snap a little high for Ridley. Completes the pass to Butler on the near side. Butler jukes and jives and gets to the 37 when he steps out of bounds. Thought he might have seen a lane, but Tom Walfield had it blocked off for him, and Taj Coakley was the up man. But it's a nice gain of seven.
Yeah, that's the exact same play they ran on the first play of the game for 2 yards. Get a little bit more on this second try.
7 minutes, 40 seconds. The scoreboard clock is official for time. Ridley hangs onto the football, wants to run right side. He will get to the line of scrimmage and maybe another yard. Taken by Justin DiTommaso for the Danvers Falcons.
Yeah, Butler is setting up as the wide receiver. And Bono is running and setting up at the slot. And Bono goes downfield, and Butler just slides in underneath him, to where Bono was to look for a pass.
Again, the deep drop, single back in the backfield. Ridley gives it off to Bono. Bono at the 40, up to the 45. He's just dragging a tackle with him. He'll get up to the 49-yard line in the first down of the game. Taj Coakley wrestles him out of bounds with an assist there to the Falcons, Franco Abatessa.
Well, he's going to be a nightmare for especially defensive backs at 6'1", 195. So, you know, he can, once he gets that body in momentum, tough to bring him down.
Fake the handoff. Ridley cuts right side, has a lane, heads down to the far sideline, and he is taken down at the 33-yard line. There was one man to beat. And Matt McCarthy grabbed him at the 33-yard line. Otherwise, it would have been 6-0.
And he was so graceful going through the line. He's taking these long, loping steps trying to find a hole.
He's got very long legs. Again, the deep drop for Ridley. Looks, gets some information from the near sideline. Takes the handoff again, flags everywhere. This play isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, I think the whole offensive line decided to leave a little bit early there.
So it'll be first and 15 in a scoreless first quarter. Each team turned the ball over on downs in their first possession.
You know, they see the film previous games for the opponent, so they have an idea of what they're going to do in certain situations. So it's like a little bit of a boxing match, a little sparring going on right now.
Looking to throw is Ridley. Has time, has to tuck it in, doesn't have time now. Dumps it into the far sideline. It is incomplete. It's grabbed by Adam Washington, but he had a foot on the out of bounds.
Oh, a heck of a catch regardless, because he had to try to find an open spot, and Ridley just happened to see him, and he lofted the ball over any defender that was in the way. The only one who could catch it was Washington, and unfortunately, in looking back for the ball, didn't keep track of his feet and put that 1 foot out of bounds.
Isaac Downs and Taj Coakley were the guys in the blue forcing that decision. 6:14 first quarter. On second and 15, Ridley has it on the right side, heads to the far sideline. Here he goes. He's at the 20. He's at the 15. He's got one man to beat in. He is out of bounds at the one touchdown. The near official said that he was out. The official that was right on the play said he was in when he hit the pylon, and it's 6-0 Classical.
Well, again, being able to see over the defensive line, seeing where the secondary is going, he pulled it down, went over the right side,
yeah.
And he's gone to the right side. And all of his running plays so far in the game tonight, in this particular drive, so he's used his ability to spot the gaps and go when the opportunity presents itself.
And that kick is high and good. Ishmael Johnson with the point after.
That was good from about 40 yards.
Yeah. 38-yard touchdown run by Ridley, the quarterback keeper. And Johnson's point after attempt is good. And we stand at 7-0 with Lynn Classical leading the Danvers Falcons. Classical came into this game 3-0 in the league and 4-0 overall. And then, so we have, and Danvers came in 2-0 in the conference and 4-0. They're 3-0 at home, and this is with the with the different schedule and the playoffs and everything. This is Danvers' last scheduled home game, and we're in the first weekend of October.
I think.
But some of this is also because Danvers is playing at Beverly, so that Beverly didn't lose another home game because they played on the road to Marblehead last week.
Right. Yeah. All the machinations that are going on with this, 15-tier, 800-team conference, it drives me nuts. All these traditional foes are now non-foes or non-conference foes or non-divisional foes. And it takes some of the luster off of these games because it doesn't have any meaning in terms of standings in terms of outcome.
Ishmael Johnson tees the ball up at the 40. Well, he tries. It doesn't want to cooperate. He puts it back in the tee. He has a 7-point lead with 6:05 to play here in the first quarter. Lynn Classical leading the Danvers Falcons. Danvers has Colby Holland on the near side, and that is Matt Reedy on the far side. Back at the 20. Up man is Matt McCarthy. He's at the 25. Kick is a low line drive, and it goes past McCarthy and will bounce out of bounds at the 17-yard line.
Well, tonight's scoreboard updates will be brought to you by Moynihan Lumber, as usual, with stores in Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire. We've only got a couple scores. Of course, you know that Classical just scored 7-0 here. Cardinal Spellman is at Austin Prep. That is 17-0 at the half, and that's what we have at the moment. But as we get them, we'll bring them to you.
We're going to kick this over on the procedure call. So from the 35-yard line now, Ishmael Johnson. One score which we will not repeat had to do with the Boston 9 going down by another large margin today in Houston. Same formation, just 5 yards further back. Ball teed up at the 35. Single broadcast tonight here on MSO News Sports, and we've got more football for you tomorrow. Talk about that in just a little bit as we're set now for the kickoff following the Classical touchdown. And Johnson drops back to the 25. Looks, calls, approaches the ball, and this time gets an end-over-end kick. Comes down at the 35, and it's bobbled around there. The ball's on the ground. It's gathered in by the Falcons' Colby Holland. And Danvers has recovered the football, but it took a funny hop on him, and he was able to fall on it, so there's no return. The ball at the 35, first and 10 from the far hash mark.
Dangerous decision, one, to catch that ball on the run. Two, he tried to catch with both hands extended in front of him, so your hands are juggling. The ball is rotating. No way he was going to make a good catch. He wanted to catch it with momentum going forward, and he nearly cost his team dearly with a big turnover on the Danvers side of the field.
Tomorrow, our 2:30 broadcast is Lynn Classical at Swampscott. First and 10 for Justin Mullaney. Mullaney takes too much time as he was lined up back at the 30. Now, yeah, Danvers is going to get whistled for five. I think they might have been trying to take a timeout, but just didn't have it. Yeah. So it's first and 15.
Manchester Essex has jumped ahead of Linfield.
Hmm.
Linfield 4-0 at this point in the season. 7-0 Manchester Essex in the first quarter.
Holland and Reedy wide to the near side. Single back in the backfield with Mullaney. Is Canova. And Mullaney fires the ball, and it is complete over the middle to Holland. And Holland gets to the 45 and the 46. It's enough for a Danvers first down. So the play felt like it was a little slow and unfolding, but he found his receiver downfield and gets a nice first down out of it.
Yeah, that was good patience, waiting for the receiver to clear to get in the middle of the field. And again, nice recovery from the penalty.
Better than 15 yards pickup on that. So the ball at the 46 on the near hash mark, which is the right hash mark as the Falcons move from our left to our right. Reedy to the near side. Single back again. Now Coakley comes in motion. Fake the handoff to Coakley. Mullaney hangs on to the football. He's at midfield. He's got pursuit. Now he's got some running room. Down to the 40, to the 39, to the 38-yard line. Another first down for Justin Mullaney. Alberto Guerrero saves a bigger pickup if you're the Lynn Classical Rams side of this football, because Mullaney was headed to the far sideline and had designs on a lot more yardage than that, but a nice pickup down to the 39 of Classical.
Yeah, found a seam on the left-hand side, got through, made a juke step to his left and managed to get outside, and as you said, touchdown-saving tackle there, Marty.
This is pretty much where Danvers started their last possession. Ball at the 39. In motion, right to left is Reedy. Hand it off to Coakley. Coakley finds a hole. Cuts in at the 30. He turns down. Gets down to the 28-yard line and dumped by Darrell Rucker very unceremoniously.
Well, you mentioned that matchup earlier. Coakley did a great job. He went straight into the line. It was all clogged up, and he simply bumped it out to the near side, to the right. And found some room, but Rucker just wouldn't give up and grabbed a piece of the shirt and then corralled him and, as you said, brought him down cowboy style.
Back to the eye with Reedy moving left to right. Three plays, three first downs. The ball's on the ground, picked up by Coakley, and he gets a couple of yards out of it, but more importantly for the Falcons, he holds on to it.
Oh, did he get lucky as he hit the line of scrimmage and he got to an open, the ball fell to the ground. He looked down, and the ball came right back up to him, and he grabbed it and fell forward. Oh, boy, was that luck.
He'll get 2 yards on it, and it does break up that streak of first downs on...
And he won't get credited with a fumble. A fumble, a recovery, and a 2-yard advance.
Again from the eye, this time Coakley is the tail. Single receiver near side is Reedy, and is tight on the far side. Looked to hand it off through the middle of the pile, and there's nothing there.
Now, that fooled nobody in the middle of the Classical line. It was a fake pitch to Coakley, and then it was into the gut.
Colby Holland in a hard-fought no gain. Yeah, a loss of two, actually. So it's third and 10. And just as quickly as the Falcons had found a way to get through the defense of the Rams have closed it. At the tail is Holland, and here's whistles on the play. Timeout has been taken on the field, and it has been taken by the Falcons. It's their second one of the first quarter. We have 3 minutes and 8 seconds to play here in the first quarter, and Lynn Classical's leading 7-0.
Well, it's been the back and forth that we sort of expected, Marty. Two good teams and thwarting each other early on. Classical behind the legs, basically, of Keith Ridley. Are up 7-0 at this point. Damage is moving the ball on this particular drive. So I think the process of sort of feeling each other out is sort of over, and now they're each going to their own strengths.
Coakley, split to the left. Backs in the eye again behind Mullaney. Mullaney rolls back, has a little time to throw, looks for Coakley on the far sideline, and he does not have it. He was moving downfield with it, gathered it in. He turned his back. I saw the football go out of bounds.
Yeah, it was a great catch, great throw over his far shoulder. No chance for the defensive back to make a play. I don't know if he got into a dim area, but looked like he had it for one step. And as he started to turn upfield, the ball just came squirting out. So, again, his back was to us, and he probably really didn't have solid control of it. But, boy, that pass is right on the money.
Four down territory for the Danvers Falcons. With the deep drop is Mullaney. Two receivers far side. The snap's a little high. Mullaney has some time. Dumps the dying quail, and it is complete. Down to the 20, down to the 15-yard line, and out of bounds on the far sideline for Colby Holland. And it will be first and goal from the 9.
That was had to be a blown coverage because he was wide open on that far sideline. Waiting for that pass, kind of looked like the Patriots defense the last couple of weeks. There was nobody covering him.
And just judging by the trajectory of the ball, that quarterback Mullaney must have just been able to get that ball off because it was fluttering. It looked like one of those flying frozen turkeys.
And it was flatlining.
So first and goal for the Falcons from the far side of the field. Hand the ball off and nothing there. Back to the line of scrimmage. And that's Matt McCarthy with the carry.
Okay,
Ahmed Gelazzo with the tackle.
Have some updates for you in a moment on the Moynihan scoreboard update.
2 minutes and 30 seconds to play here in the first quarter. Danvers knocking on the door, second and goal from just inside the 10 now. To mark a loss of about a half a yard. Where Mullaney calls the signals, waits. Fakes the handoff, dumps it into the end zone. It's incomplete. Thrown a little bit short as Mullaney got whacked just as he was letting the ball go. And I think it was Javier Delgado that got him along with Chase Bono.
Yeah, the pass I think was intended for Dylan. But he hadn't even turned around looking for the pass yet when Mullaney had to let it go. Because, again, as you said, he was under pressure. And he just let it go, and it came up, again, short of the receiver. If he had had another second to throw that ball, put something on it, he'd have had him around the 2-yard line to step into the end zone.
So third and goal. Coakley to the near side. Back stacked up behind Mullaney. Hands the ball off to Coakley. Coakley pushes his way down to about the 5-yard line. He'll mark him down at the 6 on the knee. Classical's got one of their linemen limping off, so it is fourth and goal. And tackled by Ishmael Johnson. The ball spotted at the 7-yard line. So fourth and goal from the 7. 1:47 to play here in the first quarter. Danvers, we've got timeout taken on the field here. This time it's going to be classical. So with timeout on the field, we'll give you Tim Kearns and a scoreboard update from Moynihan Lumber.
Okay, as you know, it's 7-0 here in Danvers. Masconomet, after falling behind 7-0, has come back to take a 14-7 lead over Peabody. Archbishop Williams leads Bishop Fenwick 13-0. Manchester Essex leads Linfield 7-6. Linfield has just scored, but the point after was blocked. Stoneham, for those of you in that area, leads Melrose 14-6. Cardinal Spelman still 7-0 into the third quarter over Austin Prep.
And Salem leads Winthrop by a score of 6-0. The scoreboard update is powered by Moynihan Lumber.
So holding out on me, eh?
Featuring lumber, hardware, as well as their kitchen showrooms. Well, what happened was I just turned the aluminum foil helmet far enough that I could catch the PA announcer, and that's how I knew. 1:43 to play in the first quarter. The situation is this. The ball is at the 7. It is fourth and goal for the Falcons. And they trail it. Big goal line stand coming up here for Classical Rams. This have Alberto Guerrero out first. Matt Gisono out as well. Chase Bono getting set to line up from the sharp. Mullaney, the three-step drop. Single back with him. Has time. Fires into the end zone, and it is...
Oh! Almost picked off.
Almost picked off. It's incomplete. So, second possession for the Falcons. Second time they've turned the ball over on downs. Ishmael Johnson bats that ball down. He had the opportunity for the interception. But he bats it down, and wisely, his team will now go on offense first and 10 from their own 8-yard line. The Rams defense holds. And now it's time for Keith Ridley to put the offense back on in motion. Nashawn Butler in motion. And Ridley just fires it downfield, and it's intercepted at the 39-yard line. Picked off cleanly. Thereby the Falcons taken down by Matt McCarthy at the 39. And they've been there before. You could almost see that one coming because he was Ridley was throwing into double coverage.
Yeah, I looking for his intended receiver there, Tyrese Joseph. Joseph, at the last second, just blew past Matt McCarthy, who had the deep coverage, and the ball just didn't get to him. It was just a little shy. McCarthy did a great job of turning around and looking for the ball, squaring up, getting up high to get that ball. If he doesn't make the play in that fashion, that ball is complete. And probably another six for Classical.
Reedy on offense play. Crosses over, handed off to Holland. Holland through the middle of the line. And we'll get down to the 34-yard line, where it will be second down and five. Cameron Green with the tackle for the Rams. 1:16 to play in the first quarter. Second and five coming up for Mullaney. So a surprising twist here in this football game,
well,
early going.
Again, you get two real strong defensive teams. I was going to make mention a moment ago that this probably will be a very low-scoring game till very late in the game.
Coakley, wide left, comes in motion now to the right side. Under center, faking the handoff. For to McCarthy is Mullaney, then he will get down left side on the sideline to the 31-yard line. So it will be third down and two. They'll put the ball right down on the 30. Cameron Green again with the tackle for the Rams. Third and two. Zach Dillon having another conversation with the referee. It's the second or third time he's sought clarification of something that's going on the field.
If you have too many conferences trying to plead a case, oftentimes you get a deaf ear.
Here's Coakley again to the near side. In motion, hand it off,
and
off to McCarthy, and boy, he wanted in the worst way to go left, but there was no left turn in that play.
He literally got picked up, taken off of it, swept off his feet.
That's a Matt Gisono, I think, had him wrapped around there. And Javier Delgado.
He went to make the cut, and he sort of did a hop step and kept going up. And he was in the clutches of the Classical defender.
And that's the way the first quarter comes to an end. So with one quarter in the books, the Lynn Classical Rams lead the Danvers Falcons by a score of 7-0 on MSONewsSports.com.
The Bradford Tavern in Raleigh is unique, with modern touches in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, the freshest seafood, and many quality daily specials. Serving lunch and dinner, the Bradford Tavern is open Tuesday through Sunday, 11:30 a.m. to midnight, closed Mondays. The restaurant features two separate function rooms ideal for every need, including business meetings, bridal and baby showers, or any special event. The Bradford Tavern is located at 87 Haverhill Street, Route 133 in Raleigh, and online at bradfordtavern.com.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
MSO, NewsSports.com, MSO Radio.
Second consecutive possession for the Danvers Falcons, and they find themselves with a fourth down. It is fourth and five. They are inside of Classical territory at the Classical 32-yard line. Long snap back from Mullaney. Looks, fires a bullet, and it's batted down and almost been picked off. And Zach Dillon had a slide, and he might have picked that batted ball up, except it hit just
batted, nearly picked off,
yep.
Nearly fell into the hands of a Danvers receiver who would have had a lot of open field on that far side to continue to run.
So the Danvers Falcons make the interception after they turn the ball over on downs in their last possession, get the ball back, but only get it down to the 32-yard line where they're 1, 2, 3 and out. On fourth down, and it's first and 10 for Keith Ridley again. Ridley calls signals, two backs in front of him, tucks the ball in, gets a little bit of a block, but is nothing there. He is met by Justin DiTommaso. You could hear the crunch of the shoulder pads up here.
Yeah, and again, these are two good defensive teams, two good offensive teams, but good defense will almost always trump good offense, and right now it's kind of a... You know, a boxing match out there. These guys just punching and counter-punching each other.
Ridley with a second down and seven. The ball at the 35-yard line of the Danvers Falcons. Single back now with Ridley in the backfield. And he does give the ball off. Rolls it around for Best. And Best stays on his feet. Gets up to the 37-yard line. So a respectable pickup for Best. Sets up third down and four. First off the bottom of the pile for the Falcons is Franco Abatessa. So on third and four, they don't run with a traditional huddle, but they do kind of call the signals out on the field. And here is Best again with the football. He will be short of the first down. And it'll be fourth down and short.
Kind of looking, depending where they spot this ball. Yeah. The near official has it on the 42, yeah. And I'm looking to the far side where the marker is, and that's standing at the 42, but they're marking him short.
Right. Yeah.
Interesting.
That's what it
they're marking
like
him a
here.
Half a foot short from where the side judge had the marking.
So fourth and a foot and a half, call it, for Ridley. Hands the ball off and on his feet and spun around, but Tucker should have forward progress that gets him the first down.
Yeah, he got popped and went back 3 yards. A few more scores have recently come in. We've got Everett over Lowell, 7-0 in the first quarter. Molly Catholic over BC High, 6-0 in the first quarter. Ipswich over Amesbury, 14-0. And Marblehead over Malden, 14-0 as well. And you're all up to date.
Fake the handoff, and Ridley will try to advance the ball past the line of scrimmage. He'll get a couple of yards, trying to run through the middle of the Danvers line. Tom Wallfield made the first hit for the Falcons. Gain is 3, second and 7 hard-earned yards for Keith Ridley. Puts Washington and Butler wide left, pair of receivers wide right, snaps a little high. Hand it off in the backfield, and this is Best. Best gets some running room, and then he doesn't. He had some to turn the corner.
Oh, I felt that one up here.
All of a sudden, Zach Dillon came out of nowhere.
he and Colby Holland together come up and just tattooed a running back. Ouch.
All that. Rick Keogh gets a couple of yards, and it's third and five. The ball at the 49-yard line. The right hash mark as they moved from left to right. Gathering it in is Ridley. Has to tuck it in. Didn't have a receiver. Couldn't get a grip on it. Turns, spins, runs, forced backwards, and he is going to get dropped back to the line of scrimmage. And blowing through again is Abatessa, who has the football, but he got it after the whistle. So it'll be fourth down and a long nine, the loss of five on it. And now the Danvers defense has started to come a little bit more alive here.
I don't know if he wants some.
So fourth and nine, 7:44 to play here in the first half with the Classical Rams on top of the Falcons, 7-0, and Classical with a fourth and nine at their own 44-yard line. They're showing punt, but the last time they did that, they didn't. This time the snap is high, and they do have to punt the ball away. It's blocked. It's down on the ground. With it is Keough, and down into the end zone is Coakley on a blocked punt. Turns it around and brings it in, Taj Coakley.
Well, that's what defensive pressure will give you. And again, probably the best athlete on the field for Davis came up with the play, made the block, and then managed to maintain control over his body and scooped the ball up, stepped out of the possible tackle, and ran it into the end zone. So on an unexpected scoring attempt, Davis has the opportunity to pull even with Lynn Classical here in the second quarter.
Deshaun Butler is the punter. Now, the last time that they went into punt formation, he didn't get the punt off. It looked like it might have been a fake all the way. This time, the snap was high. He tried to gather it in. By the time he got his foot into the ball, Coakley was on top of him, batted it down, and ran it in.
Yeah, I don't know if he's just setting up too deep. That it, again, the time it takes the ball to travel, mm-hmm. if you can get penetration, you're going to have the ability to get on top of, and you get an athlete, again, like Coakley, and the extra point is good. This matchup of Titans.
So Dylan's kick is good, and Zach Dillon ties this game at 7. 7-7 between the Falcons and the Lynn Classical Rams. 7-18 to play here in the first half. So we've seen a punt that didn't go. We've seen a punt that was blocked. We've seen balls turned over on downs. We've seen an interception. We saw Danvers run 3 consecutive plays for big yardage, more than 10 first down plays on 3 consecutive yards. And then we've seen the defense just tighten up. So it's been a very entertaining first half here, and we still have 7-18 to play in it. Tomorrow in MSO News Sports, join us for high school football about 2:30 kickoff tomorrow for Swampscott and Lynn English. Lynn English, one of the 4 undefeated teams, Lynn Classical being one of the others. Swampscott goes into that game also undefeated. That is a conference game, so somebody is going to come out of that with a clear lead in Northeastern Conference South. Hard to think of Swampscott and English as being in the South, but they are. So we're tied at 7 here. Butler back at his own 15-yard line. Waiting the punt. Dylan's kick bounces, fielded by Butler at his own 15, up to the 20. Cuts around left side, tries to break his way through, gets forced back, comes back to the near side, but he's running backwards, and he will get down at the 20-yard line. So we chewed up a lot of time.
Yeah. Being a long way laterally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oftentimes, just take the ball and go straight ahead. You know, and a lot of your blocking, because once you start jitterbugging, now there's the possibility that block behind the back as everybody turns to give chase. You guys are all setting up to block the man right in front of them. So utilize that.
Keith Ridley. Splits, has 2 to the near side, fires, and it is complete to Tyrese Joseph. Joseph spins, flag on the play. The ball carrier gets up. That's Joseph up to the 25-yard line. Pushed out of bounds there by Wallfield. 28 yards on that blocked punt for Taj Coakley. Bill Newell, Tim Kearns, I'm Marty Smith. At Danvers. Discuss the flag with the officials. And they've picked it up. So there's no penalty on it. So that advances the ball up to the 26-yard line. A very nice crowd here. I would say that the bleachers are pretty much full from one end to the other. With it is Ridley. Ridley on his feet at the 30, up to the 35, and wrestled down from behind. But he's got first down yardage and quite a bit more. Taken down there by Abatessa.
He has surprising agility for a kid 6'3", 215, and still growing into his body. He's probably running very fast, but it doesn't look like he's taking these loping strides. And then he has the ability to turn his body to evade would-be tacklers, as he did on that play.
Again, with a deep drop. Fires it over to the far sideline for Butler. Butler on his feet. Goes to the sideline, and he'll go out of bounds at the 43-yard line. The other thing, If you look at Keith Ridley, and you just said he was, what, 215? He doesn't look that heavy.
No.
But he's 6'3". He's clearly one of the tallest guys on the field. But he, from a standing stop, he's got pretty good acceleration right out of the blocks, too.
Yeah, and he, like I said, he's so shifty, and he glides. He takes these long, loping steps that he's chewing up yardage every time he just simply takes a stride.
Trips near side, but the handoff is to Best, and Best will get nowhere. Abatessa, again, in on the stop for the Falcons and helped out there by Andrew Cronus for Danvers. So it is third down and six. Here's Ridley, circling, looks, doesn't have a receiver, flag on the play. He'll get up to the 46, 47-yard line, and he wants to keep on going, and he's surrounded by blue jerseys. But the flag is in the backfield holding. It's going to be the call against the Rams.
He was holding up almost the entire Denver's defense by himself until some other classical shirts came along and started to push in the opposite direction, and then the scrum fell apart.
Andrew Brennan anchoring that scrum. So the Falcons will likely take the penalty to push them back.
Manchester Essex is playing some solid defense tonight against a very, very tough foe for them, Linfield. And they had an interception in the end zone to thwart a Linfield scoring drive.
So holding is the call. So they're going to take, rather than fourth and long, they're going to take the yardage and push them back for another third down, which gives you kind of an indication of the respect that the Danvers Falcons have for this offensive classical Rams. We're tied at seven here with 5:50 to play here in the first half. I'll put you on the spot. Do we have a guest
Everett,
lined up for 14-7.
Halftime?
Ooh. All right. Ridley
over
looking
Lowell
and puts it up in the air, long, long, and too long. Intended receiver Tyrese Joseph, but staying with them step for step was Matt McCarthy of the Falcons. So now it is fourth and 16. And we'll see Nashawn Butler with his third punt opportunity of the football game. There was a movie called Adventures in Babysitting. This has been Adventures in Punting, at least the first two times.
See how deep he is to receive the snap?
Yeah, the
that's unusually deep.
Line of scrimmage is the 33. He's back at the 16.
Wow.
Did he have leg into that? So it bounces at the 31 and will roll out of bounds at the 27.
Wow. We saw it.
Yep.
Bill and I saw the first game, what a good leg he has.
Yep.
But being that deep, and I don't know if it's they're trying to just get him some extra time, but that's taking more time. And again, that snap was high. He had to wait for it, and he had to jump for it. And then they still were two outside Damas rushers, still got penetration. And but boy, he got a great boot on that.
And it's interesting that Coach Ryan Nolan for the Danvers Falcons, he doesn't send anybody back to receive. He has all 11 men on the line. They don't contest the punt.
Yeah.
Just wherever it goes is where it goes.
Well, there's no possibility of mistakes. And two, you get to put more pressure on the punter, which we've seen the results of that already.
First and 10 for Mullaney at his own 27-yard line. Hands the ball off to McCarthy on the right side, and he will get drilled. They'll push him back to about the 24, so the loss will be 2. Second and 12, 5:11 clock running first half in a tie football game at 7.
Okay, a couple of updates. We've got Everett now 14-7 over Lowell. And from my good friend Dr. Bilno, we have Newburyport and Triton Tides 0-0 in the scoreboard. Update is powered by Moynihan Lumber, featuring lumber hardware as well as their kitchen showrooms. Go to Beverly and see my former teammate and schoolmate at Salem State, Mike Sopa.
Ah. So Mullaney hands the ball off, gives it off to Coakley this time, and Coakley will get back to the original line of scrimmage, drop down at the 31-yard line. So that's a pretty decent gain. Set up third down and 7. Chase Bono with the tackle. Clock running with 4:22. So who do we have at halftime? You? Me? Bill?
You.
Maybe?
Now, Bill hasn't said anything tonight. Maybe we can talk to him, get his observations.
He's so shy when you put a microphone in front of him. Snap is a little bit high for Mullaney, but he does fire it and gets it down up to the 41-yard line, and it is complete for Matthew Reedy. It's the first down for Reedy. He had to turn back on that football, and it's right in front of the Rams bench. He disappeared from view. It's almost like the baseball goes into the corner. You don't know where it went.
Which meant he had to get down and get his arms underneath that ball because it was dying at his feet. And great concentration. Get down and get underneath and cradle it in for the catch.
From the 41-yard line, their own 41 for the Falcons, first and 10, moving right to left from the near hash mark. Coakley and Reedy, the wides to the far side, the deep drop for Mullaney. Takes the football. He wants to run with it, but it's not going anywhere. He'll be dropped for a loss back at the 40-yard line. Design play, Mullaney was looking for a hole on the right side, and there was nobody there. Nick Medeiros had sniffed that play out and came right in on him. So 3 minutes and 16 seconds. Tyler Puska checks out of the game for the Falcons. Play call comes in with Justin Mullaney. Quickly breaks them out of the huddle. Again sends Reedy the single. He's flanked out to the right side now. Backs in the eye. The tail is Coakley again. Hand the ball off to Coakley. Finds some room on the right side, and then he's wrapped up and dragged down from behind. Pulled down by Johnson there for the Rams, and it sets up third and a little more than 10.
Yeah, good pursuit by Johnson there. Coakley trying to weave his way to the right and then pick something up, trying to turn upfield. But again, Johnson, great pursuit from the backside. Pulls him down.
Mark the ball just shy of the 41, so we'll call it third and 10 for the Falcons. Under center, Tom Walfield is quarterback. Justin Mullaney, two backs in the eye behind him. Coakley comes in motion, looking to throw, fires it downfield. It's a timing play for it, and it's caught by Coakley. And Coakley at the 30, the 25, and he's wrestled down at the 20-yard line.
Mullaney just heaved that ball down the middle of the field, hoping that Coakley could outrun the secondary, and he did just that. And again, he took it in stride over the shoulder. What a great athletic move. And again, Mullaney just hoping that it was a spot pass. I'm going to throw it here. Try to get there.
Yep.
And he did.
Ishmael Johnson and Darrell Rucker were both there with him. And when you looked and saw Mullaney, he didn't get a chance to plant his foot.
No.
He's throwing off of his back foot and just firing it. I hope somebody's out there. I'm sure he wasn't that way. But
he just heaved that ball. I think, you know, that's a play you obviously practice dropping back, but again, having the time to set your feet and then put it down the middle of the field and hoping that Coakley can get behind the defender. That ball, as compared to Ridley's ball that was intercepted, Ridley's wasn't thrown far enough, even though he stepped into it. Mullaney on this one, again, going backwards, just let it, and he threw that ball a long way with no real firm footing.
We have an official timeout on the field. Tash Coakley was shaken up a bit, which I think any normal human would be if you had Ishmael Johnson and Darrell Rucker both fall on top of you while you were trying to control a football.
Yeah, but what a great athletic move that was, again, by Coakley as he brought that ball in over the shoulder, just turned the head over the shoulder, watched it in, secured it. You know, and then a very physical tackle by two of the Rams.
So Coakley will get the mandatory playoff, which he would have taken a breather after that hit, any after that play and his run to make this reception. It's first and 10 from the 24-yard line of the classical Rams. Just about 2 minutes to play. Holding on to the football is Mullaney. He breaks through and he gets down inside the 10 to the 9-yard line. Tripped up as he went by Nick Medeiros of the classical Rams. And I would give Medeiros credit for saving a touchdown. But it's a first down for the Falcons and their first and goal from the 9. Well, that's the 10. I'm confused by the soccer markings here. Timeout taken by the Falcons. And it is, it's first and, we're watching where the stick is placed on the far side. Whether they have a chance to get whether this is four downs or whether it will be eight downs. And now they're putting the yard markers down on the far side. So it's first and goal from just inside the 10. 1 minute, 32 seconds to play here in the first half. We are tied at 7 between the Danvers Falcons and the Lynn Classical Rams, two undefeated teams in non-conference play here at Dr. Deering Stadium in Danvers. Still a very comfortable, pleasant night here with the flag. The flag is so still I can barely find it on the far flagpole, and the streamers on the goal posts are doing nothing, and that has been very unusual for this football season.
Yeah, considering the weather we broadcasted over the past 3 to 4 weeks.
So first and goal, Justin Mullaney brings Andrew Brennan out of the huddle first. As Ron Ramotagay on the line with them as well. Two receivers far to the right. Five-step drop now for Mullaney. All alone in the backfield. Takes the snap, rolls out right, rolls out, fires, and it is incomplete on the far sideline. But there is a flag at the time that the ball was released. He was throwing, and the intended receiver was probably Colby Holland.
Yeah, it looks like holding in the backfield.
Yeah, the
Mullaney had one blocker back there with him, and one classical defensive lineman was in there. Just couldn't get to him. Manchester Essex came up empty on a drive, and Linfield quickly struck back to take a 12-7 lead.
Holding against the Falcons, that will push them back. And they'll move the ball from the spot of the foul back to the 20. So it's first and goal from just outside the 20. The scoreboard update is brought to you by Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire. Time not an issue quite yet. A minute and 28 seconds to play in the first half. Danvers would love to go into the locker room on the momentum of a touchdown here, but it's first and goal from the 20. Single wide to the far side, single back now. Coakley is back in the game. He takes the handoff, runs around the corner at the right side at the 20, and he's down to the 15. Slammed to the ground there by the classical Rams.
Again, as the first halves wear on throughout the evening, a lot of different games, a lot of scores continue to come in. Masco 21-7 over Peabody now. Marblehead, we haven't got an update, but that was 14-0. Archbishop Williams is still 13-0 over Fenwick. Ipswich 21-14 over Amesbury at the half. Newburyport has scored 6-0 over Triton.
Pitch for Holland, and it's the option, and it's fired downfield. Flag on the play. I think we've got pass interference here. The intended receiver down in the far corner was Tash Coakley. He was bumped as he went up for the ball. And he was triple covered back there. Rucker was back there. I think Johnson was back there. And also Chase Bono.
One of the worst things you can do after you've committed a foul is back away and put your hands up.
Yeah.
That's an automatic concession that I did something, but I don't want to be blamed. And that's what happened on that particular play. As Rocket came in and just gave him a body check, and Coker just bounced forward. I'm not sure he could have caught that ball anyways.
No. No.
But the bump at that particular moment.
Because he was on the stripe on the far sideline of the end zone there.
But and the ball was out of bounds.
Yes. It's first and goal from the two. So tremendous field position. Now think about that. That was Mullaney handing it off to Holland. Holland rolled out on the option and fired into the far corner of the end zone. The flag is what sets up this first and goal from the two. And the ball's on the ground, and it has been recovered by the Rams. Is their indication?
I think Mullaney wanted to get that play going a little bit faster than he should have, and pulled back from the center just a bit too quick, and the ball went to the ground.
That's Javier Delgado with the fumble, force, and recovery. So the Danvers drive, which had all kinds of little features in it, including that first and goal from the two off of pass interference, get stalled at the two. We've got an injured player on the field, so we'll have a little bit of a delay there as the classical player is attended to.
37 seconds left. Classical's not going to do anything stupid. Probably just hold the ball, take a knee, let that clock run down. Get back in halftime, make some adjustments, come out. Because, I mean, they gave up the touchdown on the block punt.
Yep.
So they haven't given it up defensively. Overall, they played very, very well against the high-powered Danvers offense.
So the referee is having a conversation with the Danvers bench now over on the far sideline because we do have an injured classical player down on the field. I'd like to ask you, where has all the local news gone on the radio? You can find it here weekdays on the North Shore Today and on our 24/7 radio tab on the top left of our webpage. So wake up your phone. It's asleep. You can't see the screen. And go and see where it is while we have this delay in the game. 37 seconds to play in the first half. And this is, I don't know if it's enough to have an impact on the momentum, but it's certainly got to deflate the Falcons a little bit because they were oh so close. They haven't led in this game.
No, no. And again, just again, they just tried to rush.
Mm-hmm.
That they were so pumped up to get into the end zone on that play. It was just a little rushed. The connection between center and quarterback wasn't made. Ball on the ground. Credit Classical for getting great penetration and getting on top of that ball.
It's going to cost him a player, unfortunately. The injured player makes his way off the field very, very slowly under his own steam. And I think once he gets off, we're going to see Kevin Ridley maybe. Well, he's going to have to take the snap from his own end zone because I've never seen him under center. Second game I've seen him, doesn't ever get under center.
Yeah, he likes to see the field. You know, he's going to take this ball, keep it, and just drive straight ahead. There you go.
Yep, he does. And he breaks out and gets up to the 15-yard line. For a second, I thought he saw something that he was just going to go all the way. And then he didn't.
Yeah, he came through fairly quickly. And then he kind of slowed down. I was like, okay, where's that next hole going to be? And I think that little really again for another big gainer. Again, keeping the ball on the ground. Close to, in high school, the clock stops with the moving of the chains. It's running again now.
17 seconds. We've seen Ridley do the big play. Let's see what he does here. Takes time, looks. Now he has some pursuit, does dump it off, and it's incomplete. Up to the 38-yard line, Tyrese Joseph, the intended receiver, covered very nicely there by the Falcons' Justin DiTommaso.
Kind of surprised him putting the ball in the air with so little time left. You make a mistake, you know, you give the ball back to Davis, or you get a pick six. Now he made two rushes right up the middle of the field for first downs each time. You know, just run out the clock with so little time left.
Or do you just, at this point, tell him just air it out because then you...
Right.
You,
it serves technically as a punt.
Yeah. So penalty against the Rams pushes them back into yesterday. It's a 15-yard personal foul. The first down yardage is to the first down line is the 39. The ball is at the 14. So second and 25.
Take a knee.
Yes. Yeah. And at least now he's not in his own end zone when he would be doing that. Nope. Here's Ridley. Takes the football and spins up to the 20-yard line and yet another.
You're gonna have another holding call here probably from the side judge.
There's no time left on the scoreboard clock, but this is another call against the Rams. This time the Falcons will decline it as the half has come to an end. So we have a tie football game after one half as the Lynn Classical Rams and the Danvers Falcons are playing at 7-all on MSONewsSports.com.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more.
Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student-athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
MSONewsSports.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at MSO News Sports or on Facebook. And you can always email us at MSONewsSports@gmail.com.
Welcome back to Danvers. I'm Bill Newell along with Marty Smith and Tim Kearns. Give the scoring update for you in just a moment. We got the Danvers marching band and the majorettes or whatever out there. And well, they've added another dimension to the program. They got the sound system out there now too, with the electric guitars. This is quite a halftime show. We're just getting a taste of it here. Well, this game, Marty, seldom does a game kind of play out the way you kind of thought it could possibly play out. In the fact that this has been a defensive struggle here, both teams coming up with big defensive plays during the course of this game, and we're tied at 7. A touchdown for each team. Classical scoring first with 6:05 to go in the first quarter. A 38-yard quarterback keeper by Keith Ridley running around the right end and into the end zone for a touchdown. Ishmael Johnson with a point after kick for the Rams. Then with 7:18 to go in the second quarter, there was a blocked Lynn Classical punt picked up by Taj Coakley and run in from 28 yards out. Zach Dillon then capped the possession with a point after kick, tying the game at 7. And so that's where we're at, 7-all at the end of one half.
We expected a defensive battle in this football game. We got it. And if you look at, if you had to make a defensive team leading at the half, you'd have to say that it's Classical, because Danvers has only scored on the blocked punt on special teams. And the last few times we've seen them come down, the Danvers has knocked on the door, and the play just at the end of the first half was that Danvers was first and goal after a pass interference call, gave them first and goal from the 2, fumble recovery by the Rams, and they go into what you would think is a locker room, but it's not. If you see where they're trying to have their halftime huddle, they're actually huddled up in the end zone trying to make adjustments in all of this noise.
And the band is now marching towards them. So they're actually all moving further back behind the end zone to get away from the music. clever move by the band, you know. Let's interrupt their halftime. But, yeah, I mean, we knew this was going to be a low-scoring game. When you get two of the the bigger teams, unless one team totally falls flat on their face and the opposition is able to take advantage of it. The defenses of either side are going to stand out, as we mentioned earlier, in the first quarter. Great defensive play by Danvers to get on the board. A big offensive play by Ridley to get Klaskill on the board. Other than that, it's been a punching match with a couple of big plays by either team to get them down the field. And then they hit a stumbling block. Danvers with the fumble at the 2-yard line. Klaskill with a big interception along the sideline on a deep pass. So they're finding ways to check each other. Mm-hmm. You know, so it'll be the second half will be who makes the fewest mistakes.
The defensives have bent, but they haven't broken for the most part here in tonight's first half. Both teams have had their moments offensively where they look very crisp and done some very nice things.
And if you think about it, and we don't usually see a lot of different looks in high school football, but you really only see essentially one look from the classical offense.
Yeah.
It's Ridley with the long drop. He's got a couple of guys he hands off to. He calls his own number as often. He can throw the ball into the air, but the Danvers defense has done a good job of containing that. But at the same time, they've been able to move the ball. They've had very good success getting downfield with it.
Yeah, the one thing that's different, really, is he's judiciously running the ball.
Yes.
He's not running the ball just to call his own number. He's looking at the defense and seeing something because he's almost every time making positive yardage.
All right. I hate to break now, but with the Munsters just starting here, but we'll take a quick break here. We're back with more at the half. It's Danvers and Lynn Klaskill tied at 7 at the half in Danvers. Both teams coming into tonight's game. 4 wins, no losses. Stay with us.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Compelling exhibits, thought-provoking programs, all celebrating Lynn's past while promoting a vision for its future. I'm Drew Russo, Executive Director of the Lynn Museum and Lynn Arts, and I invite you to visit our campus located in the heart of the downtown Lynn Cultural District with galleries at 590 Washington Street and 25 Exchange Street. Currently, we are featuring the Vision Place of Souls, Civil War landscapes by local artist Jeff Fioravanti through December 22nd at the museum, and rotating shows from local artists in the Lynn Arts Gallery. We're open Tuesdays to Fridays 10 to 4 and Saturdays 9 to 1. Visit us online at lynnmuseum.org.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
The following is a paid political announcement from Lynn City Councilor at Large, Brian LaPierre.
Since I have been elected, we have made progress. The city is growing, but there is much work to still do. Small businesses are flourishing. We've created local jobs and continue to fight for working families all across Lynn. I have responded personally to over 1,000 constituent requests, but the work doesn't stop there. We need to keep our streets safer and our neighborhoods cleaner. We have to maintain our public services while keeping taxes affordable. The people of Lynn deserve a high level of representation. I am Brian LaPierre, and I'm running for re-election for Lynn City Councilor at Large, and I respectfully ask for one of your 4 votes on Tuesday, November 7th.
Welcome back to Danvers. Bill Newell here with Marty Smith and Tim Kearns. Just a quick programming note. Tomorrow, we have another game featuring 2-4-0 teams. It's in the Northeastern Conference Tier 3 game. That is a league game. Both English and Swampscott are in the Tier 3, and they're both 4-0. It's a 2:30 kickoff from Swampscott, the great new refurbished Bloxage Field, and we'll have a feature live streaming video. John Squires will be joining me for that broadcast tomorrow afternoon at 2:30. What we'll do is we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, The teams will be back out on the field getting ready for the second half of tonight's game. We're tied at 7. It's Danvers and Lynn Classico here on MSO News Sports.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Here from North Shore Newsmakers with two new shows on MSO. Thursdays, it's Connections. And Friday, Trending Now. And for our latest newscast and interviews, click on the 24/7 radio button on the top left of our webpage.
The theme when we came into this football game tonight was a match of two very strong defensive teams. We've got 22 minutes of the 44 regulation minutes that are going to be played tonight. And nothing has changed from what we started with, except each team has scored 7.
Yeah, it's you know, technically 0-0 is who's going to win the second half. As I mentioned during halftime, this is going to be who's going to make the fewest mistakes. And then who can take advantage of the mistakes of the other. Who can bust a big play? We've seen big plays from Ridley. We've seen the big play by Coakley. Not only in receiving, but also defensively in the block punt, and then the scoop for the return for a touchdown. So, which team can eliminate the big play of the other? If the other team stumbles, who can take advantage of the miscue? Can you force turnovers? Now, this in a game like this, it comes down to those small things, even a penalty.
Yeah.
That you know, a roughing penalty. Unnecessary roughness or another 15-yard infraction. Even an offside can spell the difference because it may give the opposing team a first down.
Yep.
You know, so this half will turn on very small pieces of the game and who can take advantage of them. Because, again, you look at the teams, they've both been well coached. Danvers, people might have come in questioning Danvers' first four games, were those results a true indication of how good that team is? Well, against the very high-scoring Marblehead Lynn Classical team, rather, they've played really good defense. The only guy that's given them any kind of trouble is Ridley, who's rushed 10 times for 101 yards, and 38 of those on one carry for the touchdown. So you look at the balance of that, he's got 62 on 9, but you're still in a ministry, you still have contained him. And nobody else has really presented an overall threat,
mm-hmm.
which means you've got to watch out for those guys, Bono, Butler, Tucker, Washington. Those are the guys that can sneak up and make big plays for Classical.
We've seen Butler move with the football, and he does have some – he, too, has that good speed that we've seen out of the quarterback, who has that good burst and the high step with his long legs. We've got a little bit of a delay getting ready for the start of the second half as the Classical Rams are here because they never left. The Falcons, whose locker room is somewhere at the other end of Essex County, are on their way back, I think, but I can't see them. So what we'll do here is I'm going to put you on the impose upon you since it's halftime here. It's halftime pretty much throughout the conference, so let's take a look at the Moynihan Lumber scoreboard.
All righty, and so we'll start here. We are 7-7. Masconomet is 28-7 over Peabody. Salem is 18-0 over Winthrop. Winthrop's still struggling to find the end zone. Marblehead is leading Malden 17-6 at the half. Revere is beating Medford 22-7. St. John's Prep is losing to Catholic Memorial 7-0 in the first quarter. Fenwick was losing to Archbishop Williams 13-0. That's the latest score we had there. Ipswich 21-14 over Amesbury. Nothing more than 6-0. Newburyport over Triton. No updates there. Linfield now 20-7 over Manchester Essex as they scored on their first possession in the third quarter. Marlton Catholic trails BC High 7-6. Going into the third quarter, Everett continues to stretch its lead to 35-7 over Lowell. Wakefield over Burlington 22-6. Melrose came back to tie Stoneham 22-22 just as the first half came to an end. And Cardinal Spelman beat Austin Prep earlier 26-0. And that's the totality of the scoreboard to this point.
That's the football stuff. In the MLB playoffs, Francisco Lindor has hit a grand slam to close the gap for the Indians. The Yankees lead 8-7 with one out in the top of the eighth. And that is the Moynihan Lumber scoreboard. This year marks the 26th year of the Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete Award. Moynihan Lumber is supporting academic and athletic excellence throughout the North Shore and throughout the time that we've been watching high school football.
It's always been the Moynihan. I noticed you omitted the Red Sox score.
Always, at the very beginning, we said it shall not be mentioned again. Sunday is another day.
Yeah, Sunday's going to think it's going to be the last day.
So join us again tomorrow afternoon. John Squires, Bill Newell will be at Bloxage Field. It's a 2:30 kickoff, so it'll be on around 2 o'clock for another battle of undefeateds. It's the Lynn English Bulldogs and the Big Blue of Swampscott. That is a conference game, which will pretty much determine who's going to win that tier.
Yeah, exactly. So both teams are going to come out extremely motivated. That's going to be a hard-hitting game. That could be one of the games of the entire season. And the kickoff is just about on its way.
So Danvers will have the ball to start the second half. And the Falcons now drop back into their formation. Colby Holland on the near side at the 20. And here's Washington's boot high, high in the air. And it's fielded cleanly by Matthew Riley at his 15. Jukes over to the 20. Cuts back. Oh, my. Did he get wrapped up at the 21-yard line? He got smoked by Chauncey Williams, who just hit him right at the shoulder pads. Crunch.
I think that's his second big takedown of the game, because he had the previous one over on the far sideline in the first half.
First and 10 from their own 21-yard line for the Falcons. All tied up at 7 here to start the second half. Mullaney brings the play call in. Catch some of the defensive alignment for you to start the second half. Maurice Sequeira now shifts over as the Falcons show the deep drop. Here's the pitch into the backfield for Coakley. Coakley has pursued it. He is spun and dropped at his own 6-yard line. Quick pitch back to Coakley from the 21, but there's a flag way over on the far sideline. In the
was that Roberto
Celestino makes the tackle in the way back down. It's offside. Offside the Rams. And what did you say as we were coming back into this about how even the smallest penalty, because this, instead of this pushing the ball back to the 8-yard line and making it second and 24, it's now first and 5.
Yeah, it's and again, Classical has had this problem in previous games that we've done, as I mentioned. And it's just a hand reaching over into that neutral zone.
Reedy singles split out to the left. Here's the ball right through the middle. Up with it. Spun around his quarterback, Mullaney. He'll get the first down yardage up to the 37-yard line. So Mullaney went right through the middle of the line. Ishmael Johnson got him, but not before he picked up about 7 on it. Mullaney hit his block, bounced off of his blocker, who probably was Tom Walfield in front of him, and just had enough to squib his way through. Kind of turned sideways and almost crab-walked it. First and 10 from their own 38 now for the Falcons, moving left to right. Reedy and Holland split to the left, under center, hand the ball off to Coakley. He is wrapped up behind the line of scrimmage.
Dennis Pascoe, great penetration on that play. They pulled the right guard to lead block. And as I said, Pierce came shooting through and dragged Coakley down from behind.
Give you an idea of how physical this game is down there in the trenches. We have another Danvers player on their back, so there's timeout on the field. That's the second Danvers player that we've seen injured. Coakley came back in. One of the classical players was taken out on the golf cart at halftime to be mended after that after the fumble recovery by the Lynn English Rams. So we have 9 minutes 43 seconds to play here in the third quarter, all tied up at 7. Check out our newest program on MSO. It's Connections, airing Thursday mornings, timely local guests, including Heather Atwood, here on MSO Newsports.com. And now that we're in the last couple of weeks of the regular season schedule, we're going to be kind of making the audibles as the week progresses as to the best matchups for us to cover. So check back on the site anytime during the week, generally later Sunday or Monday, when we'll have the updated webcast schedule and let you know what our video game of the week is going to be. I invite you to join us.
Yes, it's an intense negotiation between the group of, you know, which games we're going to cover. A lot of back and forth.
Yes.
You know, a lot of throwing of eggs.
They have to be virtual. So Tash Coakley is up and leaves the field with assistance.
A little tender right ankle there. I hope that's not too serious. Where they were, it may have been landed on. It may have been, you know, twisted.
So it is second and 10. The ball at the 38-yard line. The golf cart's in position, and they have not taken the injured player off yet. So Reedy to the near side. The back's in the eye behind quarterback Mullaney. On second and 10. Rolls back. Pitches it. Complete to the near side. That's Colby Holland. Holland on his feet over the 40 to the 41, the 42-yard line. Forced out of bounds on the near sideline by Darrell Rucker.
Nice persistence in that play as he was wrapped up early. But Holland just kept trying to run away and pull away from the shirt grab and lean forward for probably an extra 2 or 3 yards on that particular play. Now, one thing we didn't talk about in terms of factors that could influence the outcome of the game are injuries to key people. And Coakley is one of the really key people to not only the Davis Falcons offense, but their defense as well.
Matt McCarthy, single wide. One back in the backfield. Snap a little high for Mullaney. Mullaney dumps it out. It's intercepted. Pulled down by Johnson. Johnson at the 40, the 30, the 20. He's got an angle on the far sideline. He steps on the sideline, and he's in the end zone. Touchdown. Ishmael Johnson on the interception. Returns it 50 yards, and it's 13-7.
Well, Mullaney threw, going to his left, threw on the run, didn't have his feet set. Ball sailed on him behind the intended receiver. And it was an easy pick. Washington picked it off with momentum and just outran Mullaney. Mullaney tried to take an angle on him down around the 2-yard line, but again, just outran him into the end zone. Well, again, mistake, turnover, taking advantage.
So Johnson will kick out of the hold of Ridley, and it just makes it over the goalpost.
Was not a good snap to the holder. He got it down and put it in a very awkward position, and yet the kick had enough, and it was an ugly boot. Had enough to get in between the uprights.
So Ishmael Johnson with the interception and the ensuing return gives
And he caught that ball coming into it, and he already had some momentum going forward, and then it was just putting it in the next gear to get to the end zone.
And you could see that because Danvers, their offense, now having to play defense, they were moving away from the ball. Yep. They had to stop, turn, and get back, and he's doing the freight train thing down the far sideline, and he did a tremendous job of running that white stripe over there.
Yes.
Because from here we could see it, and at this angle, he was really, if that was actual chalk and not paint, I think you would have seen chalk dust come up.
Yeah, and I give Mullaney a lot of credit, because once he threw it, he just didn't drop his head. He took off on an intercept course to try to get him, but just didn't have the distance and the speed to make the intercept.
When he was coming from almost this sideline.
I take it back. He did have it because was Johnson stepped inside of him and went into the end zone.
Fielded cleanly at the 20. Here's Matt Reedy up to the 30, to the 32, and the 33-yard line. Brought down there by Andy DeLeon of Classical. And now we have a little bit of a scrum. So the question is, who gets flagged and what happens from there? 8 minutes and 22 seconds of extracurricular activities right in front of the Classical bench, which is sometimes can be the offshoot of what's a very hard-fought game in the trenches.
Yeah, and, players... trying to see who number 20 was. Number 20 is not on the roster for us, unless you have him.
I do not.
But I don't have him on a roster anywhere. Let's see. Nope. He's a special teams player, but he made a heck of a special teams tackle. And maybe in his enthusiasm, he may have let it get away from him. And again, this is a very emotional game. You just had a turnover. You're trying to make the most. You've just taken a hard tackle. You take exception to a guy getting up and celebrating it, you know. Again, this is where it's really important. You can see Coach Von Donnell on the sideline admonishing the troops to back up. This is what you don't want to do. You don't want to lose control. You don't want to lose composure. Because that just fires up the other team. I'm sure Coach Nolan is saying the exact same thing on the other side, is channel your emotions. Channel your physicality. Go out there and take the play to them. They want to celebrate not thinking the game is over. Let's go show them the game is not over. So
now he's
again, it's like what I mentioned. It was about managing and controlling yourself for this second half.
They just threw another flag. So I think we had offsetting penalties, and now we have another personal foul, I think, is what's happened here. But either way, it moves the ball up to the 46-yard line. So the call, ultimately, when it's all sorted out, goes against the Rams. The 15-yard mark off brings the Falcons to the 46-yard line.
We saw on the opening drive, tackle for a loss. Offside, 5 yards. Danvers starts to move up the field. Classical makes a pick six. Now kickoff. Emotions run high. You've just given Danvers, after a decent return, you just added 15 more yards to it. You've shortened the field for them before you've even taken a snap. It's about control. And overall, Classical has done a very good job of that this year. They have to maintain the emotional control.
Yeah, we've got whistles again on the field, and I think something is blown onto the field. Oh, it's the kicking tee. After all of that, they forgot the kicking tee, which is why we have the whistle on the field here. The side judge alertly said, there's some orange thing sticking up down there. I don't think it belongs there. So the two backs in the eye, the pitch goes back for Holland. Holland wants to run left side, gets line of scrimmage, and not much more. Johnson makes the hit from up high. And that's Ahmed Joluso from down low, and the gain is one. It's second down and nine. Kevin Panagua in the middle of the line. He's going to be a hard person to move out of the way, as is Javier Delgado.
Yes.
Second and nine for the Falcons, 7:51 to play in the third. Classical has gone up on top, 14-7. Fake the handoff, instead to the middle of the line. Nobody home. They will get to the line of scrimmage, and nothing past that.
You know, when you have that scrum that we just described, Donald, on the sideline in front of it, you get an increase in intensity. You've got adrenaline really pumping through those guys on the field. So you're going to see the level of the intensity of the contact between offensive and defensive play, especially those linemen. They're going to go in and really start really smacking each other.
Third and 8. 5-yard drop for quarterback Mullaney. Two receivers near, one far. Mullaney has time, looks, doesn't have a receiver, now fires it. Near sideline, it is complete. Down in front of us to Matthew Reedy. He will stay in bounds, and it's first down yardage. First and 10 from the 41 of Lynn.
And again, the receiver had to be reminded by the sideline judge not to do any kind of celebrating because it was a pointing for first down in front of a couple of Rams players. And the side judge immediately went over to him and gave him a word. Again, about, I hate to call it etiquette because in a football game, there's very little room for etiquette. Though there was a show I watched the other night about guys that are actually more polite than you think on the football field.
Matt McCarthy. Split left to the near side comes Reedy. With it is Mullaney. Calls his own number inside the 40 and takes a hard hit at the 38-yard line. Dropped down there by Delgado off the top of the pile. And Geluso out of the bottom of the pile and whistles timeout taken here. It'll be 5 yards. It's the pickup, second and 5. And we've got an injury as the reason for the timeout. Danvers has yet another player down on his back at the 45-yard line with 6:43 to play in the third quarter.
Well, we'll give you a quick update from the Moynihan scoreboard. Revere had gotten his first one of the year with a 29-7 win over Medford.
Our weekly North Shore Sports Talk is Monday night, North Shore Sports Night, Monday evenings at 7 here on MSO News Sports. And our scoreboard updates throughout the football game are brought to you by Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire. So we've got what looks like a cramp or a Charlie horse being worked out at the 45-yard line. Join us again tomorrow around 2 o'clock, a little after 2, for Bloxwich Field, as Bill Newell will have the play call of Lynn English and the Big Blue of Swampscott. Battle of undefeated teams there. Injured Danvers player makes it off the field under his own power. And we'll head over to the far sideline. Wants to take the obligatory one play off. At least. And when play resumes, it will be second and 5. The ball just shy of the 43-yard line. Make that the 38-yard line. Of Lynn Classical for the Falcons. Franco Abatessa listens. Takes his position on the offensive line. Trips to the far side. Russell Canova in the place of the injured Taj Coakley. Here's the pitch off for Holland. He's on his feet. He'll be dropped for a loss, though. Colby Holland took that pitch to the left from Mullaney. He was a couple yards behind Mullaney. Got away from
Chase Bono, who's usually a pretty short tackle there.
But it was just enough to disrupt his momentum and allow the defense to come back, and Cameron Green got him for a loss of another couple of yards and put the ball back at the 39, where it is 3rd and 7.
Yeah, if you don't make the tackle, get a hand on him. And again, as you said, disrupted the momentum that he couldn't get to the corner to allow that short pass to get on the sidelines for a first down.
Holland to the near side. Joined out there by McCarthy. Now Reedy, near side. Long drop back for Mullaney. Looks, fires over the middle. It is complete to Holland. Holland on his feet at the 30 to the 25. Sidesteps down to the 20. Takes a hard hit. The ball is on the ground. It is loose, and Classical has indicated that they have it. But everything they do have made that fumble recovery.
Wow, that was a great move by Holland because he ran down the numbers on the near side here, stopped and angled back towards the hash marks, wide open, and Lynn did a great job of getting the ball to him. He got across the field on an angle, and again, fighting for the yardage, he was triple team tackled, and as he went down, the ball popped loose.
Maurice Sequeira secures the football for Lynn, and they are first and 10. And a big tackle made there on Sean Butler.
Russell Canova. Again, that he's throwing that ball a long way, and that gives the corners and the outside linebackers a chance to close and make that play and cut it for very little gain. And that play really hasn't worked for Classical Tonight. We've seen it early in the year go for some good yardage, but it just seems he's throwing the ball further away towards the sideline. And again, Danvers' defense is as quick as Classical is laterally.
Here's Ridley with time. Now gets it away, fires downfield. It is batted up in the air, intercepted, taken down by the Falcons. Here they come back up to the 25-yard line as the ball is plucked out of the air by Matt McCarthy on the hit at midfield. And as quickly as they lose it on the fumble recovery, the Falcons get it back.
Well, it's Button who's got the button all of a sudden, as Johnny Most would say, because the ball is popping around all over the place. Ridley was being chased. He managed to set himself and throw it downfield. But again, the defender had inside position, tipped it up in the air, and actually, I think it was Matt McCarthy who made the tip but didn't make the reception. It was another defender coming over who made the pick and started upfield.
First and 10. Give a lot of credit to Franco Abatessa on that for the Falcons, who forced the hurry for the quarterback. Here's the handoff to McCarthy, and he'll get down to the 25-yard line.
Well, each defense now, we've seen the offenses make mistakes, and the defenses stand up and make their own play. So, again, there's a lot of back and forth in the middle of the field right now.
Second down and 7, 4 minutes, 27 seconds, third quarter. The clock's running 14-7 with Lynn Classical on top of the Danvers Falcons. Put Reedy, single wide to the left side. Under center now is Mullaney. Reedy comes in close, tight. Mullaney calls his own number. Spin move down to the 20-yard line. He's to the 19. He will be shy of the first down based on the spot from this side of the field, and it is. So it's third and 2. He pushed the pile a lot further than he was able to get. So third and 2. The ball at the 20. So the Falcons nibbling at the edge of the red zone and coming back into the game to give a little bit more weight to the middle of the line is Dennis Pierce, 6'3", 250 pounds, on the line for Classical. Here's the handoff. Around for McCarthy. Flag on the play. McCarthy is spun. He had to run from the right side hash mark all the way over to the far sideline. But the flag holding against Danvers.
Never a good sign when you see the guy in the white hat throw the flag.
So the play would go for a loss anyways. So here's the question. Do you push them back and give them another down? Or do you just let it go with the loss and bring up fourth down?
Oh, I don't think. Ooh, he's going to take the penalty.
That's why we're up here.
Let's see. It would have been fourth.
Fourth and about 3,
fourth,
I think.
Three,
okay. In that neighborhood. So now it is third and 12. But the ball is back at the 30 rather than being at the 21. So here's Mullaney again. 3 minutes, 5 seconds, clock running third quarter. Mullaney pitches it back, reverses near sideline. With the ball is Reedy. Reedy fires it downfield, fires it, batted down. Intended receiver was Zach Dillon, and the ball is batted down from him by Darrell Rucker.
What a great play. The ball was high. He just threw it up there for grabs. And Rucker saw it all the way, made his move to get inside the intended receiver, and I was watching him, and he's waiting to time his jump to get as high as he could to deflect that ball out of bounds. Extremely well played.
2 minutes
by Rucker there.
2 minutes, 54 seconds in the third quarter. It is fourth and 12. The ball at the 30-yard line of Lynn Classical for the Danvers Falcons, and Mullaney with a single back, and he's got the 5-yard drop. Snaps a little high. Mullaney gathers it in. Looks, has to tuck it in and run. He's at the 30. He's at the 25. Cuts down to the 20-yard line. The key thing will be here, the spot of the ball. He may be a foot short. We'll have to see when this may be the first measurement of the football game. I'm not sure. how close it's going to be.
Yeah, I can't judge. We got too many players in the in our line of sight. First down, Classical. They stopped them.
And they stopped them by inches.
Well, we've got this change in possession. Give you a quick rundown. Masco now 28-7 over Peabody. Salem has stretched its lead to 33-0 over Winthrop. Marble ahead 23-6 over Malden. Ipswich 28-14 over Amesbury. And back to you, Marty.
First and 10 for Keith Ridley. He has a single back with him. It's Malcolm Best. Takes the snap. It's a little low. Hands it off to Best. Best cuts through the line and up to the 23-yard line.
Not called his name much tonight.
No.
Kind of surprising.
Well, most of what they've been doing has been the dump off to Butler.
Yeah. And again, you know, having a little bit more balance, getting Best in here, squeezes the defense, and that allows you to get outside more effectively.
There's Butler in motion again, waving his hands up, but the ball carrier is Keith Ridley, and play just never opens up for him, and he'll be dropped back at the 20.
I don't know if that was a busted play or not, because I really was just trying to bend over and hide the football, because the fake didn't go smoothly. He had a late read on the defense, but that was not a smoothly run play by Classical.
Well, and Butler comes from the left side, runs 5 yards behind his quarterback, who's already 5 yards back. Yeah. Takes the big curve around to the far side, and he's over there. Look at me, I'm over here, Teach.
Yeah, I don't know if you know, a blown play, a busted play, where really was supposed to turn around and come back. Let's get some more scores in here while we've got a timeout. Newburyport 13-6 over Triton. Now Linfield stretching it out against Manchester Essex after Manchester Essex scored to open the game, but they now trail 35-7. Everett just continues to stretch it out against Lowell 42-13. And that's all we have. And I have not found an innocuous enough score for tonight, though I did have a Franklin King Philip score earlier, but we'll let that one go.
That's a big rivalry down there. They're like neighboring towns, Franklin and Wrentham.
Well, if we manage.
Why I know that is beyond me.
And that's our innocuous fact of the night. Marty is actually familiar with Franklin King Philip.
This year marks the 26th year of the Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete Award. Moynihan Lumber supporting academic and athletic excellence on the North Shore. A minute 52 seconds in the third quarter. It is third down and 9. For Keith Ridley. Has two backs in front of him this time. Butler and Best in the 5 yard drop. Takes the snap, fires it immediately to the far side, and it is incomplete. In and out of the hands of his intended receiver, who was all alone over there.
Yeah, he spun and just threw the ball. Didn't set his feet, didn't square up. He had lots of time. His receiver was open. Defender was a good 5 years.
He might have. He might as well have been.
5 yards off of him. Ridley, again, just in too much of a hurry on that particular play.
And Tyrese Joseph, the intended receiver.
There's a name also who hasn't been much involved tonight.
1:49, third quarter, fourth down and 9. Deep in their own territory, and here's Butler. The snap is good. The punt has plenty of distance to it. It bounces at the 46, takes a big, big Classical roll, and goes to the 44 on the other side. Picked up there by Natural Allen, and it will be first and 10 for the Falcons, their own 44-yard line.
Now, in the games we've seen Classical play, he turns the ball over on almost every single kick that gets Classical extra yardage. On that particular play.
Now, here's the second possession for Danvers coach Ryan Nolan. He's missing a weapon. He doesn't have Taj Coakley. You see it a little bit on defense, but the way this game has been played, it's been played a lot of it in the trenches, and Coakley's out there in the defensive secondary. But here you're used to seeing him with his hands on the football.
Yep.
We'll see what the alignment's going to be for Danvers, as they put Zach Dillon in motion. And right through the middle of the line, nothing there for Colby Holland. He'll actually be dropped for a loss of maybe 2 yards.
Yeah, number 6 for Lane Classical, Ishmael Johnson, co-captain for the Rams this year, sliced in and get into the backfield and caused that breakup in the offensive flow. Actually, the running back actually tripped over him.
Loss of 1 second and 11. The ball at the 43-yard line. Just about a minute to play here, third quarter. In Danvers with classical leading, the Danvers Falcons, 14-7. Faked the handoff, rolling out is Mullaney. Mullaney in trouble, looks, just dumps it downfield, and there may have been an intended receiver if he was 5 yards in closer to the ball.
Dangerous, dangerous pass.
Yeah, he was looking at a sack back at the 28-yard line, so it would have been a 25-yard, 15-yard sack. So the clock stopped on the incomplete pass. It's third and 11 for Justin Mullaney. Out comes Kevin Panagua for classical. Cameron Green takes up a position on the far sideline in a passing situation. Mullaney has time, fires short. Intended receiver far side was Matt McCarthy.
Yeah, I don't know if he expected McCarthy to come further than that. McCarthy continued well beyond the first on marker, and it seemed like Mullaney was expecting him to go just to the marker or go past and then come back to the first down mark, and that's where he threw the ball.
Sakara and Green with the coverage. So now it's fourth down. We're going to see a Danvers punt as the line of scrimmage is the 43-yard line. They would need to get to the 46 going the other way. So it was third and 11. And the Rams have a single receiver back at the 22. It's a fake, and with it is Zach Dillon. He gets back to the line of scrimmage, and that's it. So the fake punt gets about 3 yards net, and it'll be first and 10 from the 46-yard line, and we'll get to see Keith Ridley put his team back on offense.
30 seconds left in the third quarter. Was that the time for a play like that? Again, he had a long way to go for first down. It wasn't like he had, you know, 2 or 3 yards. You had a good 8 yards to go for that first down. Malcolm. But again, classical stayed at home, maybe anticipating that they were going to do something because they had lots of coverage to defend that play.
Empty backfield, and the ball carrier is Ridley, and Ridley will have first down yardage.
Great fake to Marcus Tucker, yeah. And Tucker carried that fake out really, really well as he came to the sideline towards us, and you know, we had to look back and find out where the ball was to see Ridley squirming forward.
Yeah, I had him at 10. They've actually given him 8. So the ball's at the 38-yard line, second and 2. This time a single back in the backfield, and we've got whistles everywhere as the third quarter has come to an end here. So three quarters have gone by, and Lynn Classical leads the Danvers Falcons 14-7 on MSONewsSports.com.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings. With 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore, we have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our 3 locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Malcolm Best takes the handoff and brings it down 4 yards. He needed 2 for the first down, so it is first and 10 from the 34-yard line for Keith Ridley. Empty backfield again. Shifting is Tucker to the left. Ridley hands it off to Tucker. Tucker on his feet at the 25 and pushed out of bounds at about the 23-yard line.
Yeah, he fought against going down with that tackle. He lunged forward, and with that lunge, he got the first down.
But there's a flag in the corner where you would expect holding, possibly. But here's the thing. That's the same play, just a different version. The last one, this time, instead of going with the fake to Tucker, Ridley goes forward. Tucker has the football, comes around the left side, and got a hole open for him, but it's not going to stay.
And that's the reason why there was a hole.
Yeah.
Okay, we got a couple of updates. We'll try to swing them in here as we go through the fourth quarter. Some finals will start to come in.
In the bottom of the ninth, the score is tied at 8 between the Yankees and the Indians.
Wow.
10-17 to play in regulation time in this football game. It's 14 for the Lynn Classical Rams and 7 for the Danvers Falcons. Fake the handoff. Little dump off for Butler. Butler on his feet at the 40, at the 35. Run sideline at the 30 and pushed out of bounds at the 26-yard line. And I have to tell you, if Justin DiTomaso does not push him out of bounds then, it's 20.
Yeah, and it's... You know, that's the first time that play has really gone for any kind of significant yardage tonight. And great move by Butler. He did. He had a blocker out there. There were two Davis defenders. The blocker picked the inside man. Butler managed to juke the outside man to give him the corner. And again, like you said, if not for that that last push out of bounds, he had 6.
Second and 4. This time, the handoff goes off for Tucker again. He'll pile through the middle. The indication is that he's at the 23, which is where they needed to get to, but he's going to be short by about a foot, so it's 3rd and 1, but we have another injury to the Danvers Falcons on the far sideline, so we've got an official timeout here for an injury.
Phil Stacey reported that Taj Coakley is on the sidelines with shoulder pads off and a bag of ice on his ankle, so there's no chance of him returning tonight.
Yeah. More, his loss is felt on both sides of the football, but I think it really reduces the Falcons' flexibility on the offensive
yes.
side.
Yes. Yep.
9:29, fourth quarter, 14-7. Classical with the football and the lead on 3rd down and 1. Ridley calls his own number. He's got 1, he's got 2, he's got 3. He's down to the 21-yard line. Another first down for Classical. Both teams undefeated coming into this football game. And in a way, it's a shame. Not in a way. It is a shame that this is not a conference game.
Don't get me started.
9-11 in the fourth quarter. Fresh set of downs for Keith Ridley and the Classical Rams. 2 receivers either side. Empty backfield for Ridley. 5-yard drop for him. Calling his signals left, right, doesn't stop, and fires it through traffic, and it's complete. I think that's Tucker down there. And if it is, he's down to the 11-yard line.
I'll tell you, I was waiting for the ball to be intercepted the way he had two Davis defenders right in his line of sight, and he threaded it between them. I don't know how he did that.
That's Chase Bono that made that reception, and it's 2nd and 1. That's a 9-yard completion and run. 2nd and 1 from the 11. Here's the handoff again to Tucker. Tucker strings it out left side, and he's going to lose about a foot. So it'll be 3rd, and we'll call it 2. That's going to bring Ahmed Jalasso back into the game onto the offensive line. Adam Washington out. Single receivers either side. Hanging on to the football is Ridley. Ridley down to the 10, down to the 5. Pulls a tackle with him, and he gets down to the 3-yard line.
He is such a smooth runner, Marty. I keep saying it, but every time you watch him run, he's gliding.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's sensing holes, and he has, again, that unique ability to just to turn his body slightly to avoid would-be tacklers and gain additional yardage. And he's done it all night long.
Andrew Brennan came off the bottom of that pile for the Falcons, and we have yet another injured player down on the field. 7:54 to play here in the fourth quarter, 14-7. The Lynn English took the lead at 6:05 in the first quarter, and a 38-yard quarterback Keith Ridley keeper. Johnson's point after attempt is good, and it's 7-0. That's the way the quarter ends. In the second half, Taj Coakley blocks a punt, returns it 28 yards, makes it 7-6. Zach Dillon's kick is good, and it's 7-7. That's the way we were in the half. In the third quarter, Ishmael Johnson picks a ball out of the air for the classical Rams on the 49-yard line of Danvers, scampers downfield for the 49 yards, makes it 13-7. His ensuing point after attempt is good, and it's 14-7 at the third. And that's the way it is here with 7:54 to play in the fourth quarter, 14-7.
It would appear that Classical's physicality is beginning to take its toll on Davis. And one of the things I mentioned at the half was who's going to be there in the fourth quarter. Davis is starting to take on these little nicks from key players on offense and defense. Of course, the biggest one, as we mentioned numerous times already, is Coakley. But Classical is big and physical across the front, and they're bringing an attitude when they're hitting people and they're blocking. They're really bringing the pads.
And Classical lost a key player at the end of the first half as he was taken out of here in the golf cart.
I played golf on Wednesday. I should have been taken off the course on a golf cart.
You mean they let you on the course?
Yeah, they did. I didn't tell them. I didn't give my name.
You were wearing the mask because your picture is still up on the wall from the last time you played there.
Yeah, I'm usually brought in for course redesign. Once they redesign it, they bring me in to, you know, do the heavy, dirty work, moving dirt and
Caddyshack. Alive.
Yeah, it's sometimes not a pretty pitch. Though, I lost two golf balls.
Tomorrow, 2 o'clock, a little after 2, Bill Newell, John Squires will be on the air here on MSO News Sports with Lynn English and Swampscott, battle of two undefeated teams in Northeastern Conference Tier 3, also known as Northeastern Conference South. This is the battle of the Northeastern Conference North and Northeastern Conference Central leaders. Injury timeout on the field. The Danvers player up under his own power makes his way over to the far sideline, and he will get a play off.
Is that Zach Dillon?
Yes.
Again, you know, plays you can't afford to lose.
First and goal from the 3 for the Lynn Classical Rams in Danvers territory. Wind the clock into motion with 7:53. Keith Ridley has two receivers wide, splits Butler now over to the rear side, and Ridley just walks through as a nice how do you do, and it's 20-7.
Well, well set up blocking along the Classical front line, and Ridley just tucked underneath and went to the right side of his center. Just a big hole they opened up there, and he flew into the end zone.
3-yard touchdown run for Ridley to go with his 38-yard touchdown run. And it's 20-7 with Classical leading Danvers.
Well, this is a Classical team that has a renewed deep belief in itself.
Yes, clearly. Ridley the holder, Johnson the kicker, and the kick is squibbed. It's blocked. It got deflected. So the kick is no good, and the score remains 20-7 with 7:42 on the scoreboard clock. Check out our newest program on MSO. It's Connections, airing Thursday mornings. Timely local guests, including Heather Atwood. You can catch all of those. If you miss it live, you can catch it on demand as well.
Okay, a couple of updates from the Moynihan scoreboard. BC High, after allowing Malden Catholic to score the first touchdown, has rattled off 35 straight points, so they lead 35-6. Everett stretches to 42-13 over Lowell. Stoneham and Merrill's tied 22-22 a half, are now tied 30-30. Let's see. Neshoba Tech over Essex Tech 18-6. Linfield stretching it to 35-14 over Manchester Essex. Newburyport 19-13 over Triton. Ipswich stretching it to 42-14 over Amesbury. No other updates on Malden Catholic St. John's Prep. Again, Revere getting its first win 22-7 over Medford. And nothing since we heard that Marblehead was leading 23-6 over Malden. And in Mr. Smith's game of the week, King Philip and Franklin tied 14 with 4 minutes left.
Where is that being played?
That is being played, I believe, in Franklin.
Ah. And in the AL series, that game's gone to extra innings. So here is Washington with a big booming kickoff, fielded cleanly at the 22, picked up there by McCarthy. McCarthy still on his feet at the 39, and it takes three players to wrap him up and bring him down. Finally taken down there by Natural Allen, who has had a couple of tackles on special teams. And for a second there, I thought something was going to erupt, but it didn't.
Yeah.
It's like it was brewing and then stopped. Fortunately.
Well, that gave a whole new meaning to weaving your way upfield.
Oh yeah.
And again, he was taken down by three Glasgow defenders as they were trying to corral him in, and he just kept weaving and juking.
Ball near hash mark, which is the left hash mark as the Falcons move from our right to our left. Ball nestled just shy of the 40-yard line, 7 minutes 34 seconds to play in the football game with Classical maybe crawling into the driver's seat here. They have a 20-7 lead. The long snap for Mullaney. He fires it and it's incomplete. Wanted to go in the general direction of Colby Holland, but Holland was wearing Cam Green or the other way around, so the pass goes incomplete and it's 2nd and 10.
Well, Newburyport has won the Border Battle Trophy, defeating Newburyport 19-13. Newburyport defeating Triton 19-13. I didn't know there was a trophy.
Ah. 2nd and 10.
Kind of like not knowing you were a major King Philip Franklin fan.
Things that stick in what's left of my mind. 2nd and 10 for Mullaney. Big, big drop and an easy dump off. Comes over to the 35-yard line on his feet, running far sideline. With the football is Russell Canova. And Canova gets it up over midfield and down to the 49-yard line.
It's yeah, he took a beeline for the first down marker.
Yep.
And he got there and then stopped. As the Classical pursuit finally caught up to him.
Kevin Panagua lumbers his way back out onto the field. Dennis Pierce checks out defensively for the Classical Rams. Fresh set, 1st and 10. Under center is Mullaney. Mullaney takes the quick drop, fires it into traffic, and it is incomplete. Intended receiver was Matt Reedy. He was covered by Darrell Rucker, and the pass was into more white jerseys than blue.
Yeah, again, with 7:16, you have to take some risk, but you don't want to, again, be too risky, too rash, because, again, throwing it to a sea of white isn't the color you want to be throwing to at this point in the game.
Ishmael Johnson and Darrell Rucker on the coverage. Snaps a little bit high for Mullaney. Fires, gets it away from traffic, and it's complete. Up to Holland. Holland gets on inside the 40 to the 37-yard line.
I think the ball went on the ground again. Damage managed to maintain control of it. Well set up screen. They're letting Classical just come in, and Classical's secondary is very deep, and there's a wall of block is out in front, and that was really a touchdown-saving tackle because he managed to break out of one or two tackles there.
On the hurry-up, Mullaney fires tipped and out of bounds to Colby Holland.
Yeah, a little high.
At the 28-yard line, it would have been about an 8-yard reception because Holland was moving back towards the ball.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have gotten much further, but he would have gotten the 8. So now it's 2nd and 10, 6:51. The clock stopped on the incompleted pass. Wind it up now at the 36-yard line. Between the two hash marks, but favoring the far side of the field. Split Holland out to the right. Winged out with him is Reedy. On the right, single receiver near sideline is McCarthy. Back to pass is Mullaney. Mullaney dumps it, intercepted, pulled down by Nick Medeiros. Medeiros on the far sideline takes a hard hit and is pushed out of bounds at the 49-yard line.
Well, roughing the passer on Classical. So that'll wipe out the interception, give Danvers a first down. Well, let's see, is it going to be a dead ball? Was the penalty after the pick?
There was a tremendous hit.
I think the penalty was after the pick, and Mullaney was grabbed by the face mask and thrown to the ground.
Ah.
So this is going to be an interesting call. Is it? And it's going to go against Glasgow. It'll negate the interception. It'll move the ball 15 yards down the field. Automatic first down. 6:42 left in the game. This guy walks any further, he's going to be in the end zone.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
He's going to the concession stand.
Good Lord. He just marched off 20 yards.
So the interception comes back. The ball is now at the 21-yard line where it is first and 10 for Justin Mullaney.
Wow.
We're sitting in front of some of the classical fans, in case you weren't able to sort that out. Just the general tenor of their response. First and 10 from the 21 for Mullaney in the 5-yard drop. Single back with him. Single receiver near side. Snap a little high. Mullaney hangs onto it. Runs right side. And he's down inside the 25 and pulled out of bounds.
Got to be careful. Got to be careful. I don't know if he had him by the back of the shirt in the field to play, but he threw him out of bounds. And it, again, controlled aggression.
Yep.
You have him out of bounds. Let go of the shirt. Let him fall.
Second and two.
It's nice, you know, it's nice to add on for effect, but when the net result becomes another flag and another 15, not wise.
Ball at the 13. Danvers trails by 13. Second and two. There's the snap. It's really high. Mullaney gathers it in, dumps it off, and it's complete to the Falcons. John Strangey. And he will get first down yardage. That's the first time I think I have seen him.
When he's thrown to the sideline, Mullaney's done a good job of getting it to his intended receiver. When he's rolling out and he's throwing back into the field along the hash marks, he's been picked twice.
First and goal from the 9 for the Falcons. Holland and Reedy to the far side. Single receiver near is McCarthy. Single back in the backfield with Mullaney. The snap again high. Mullaney tucks it in. Can't find any running room. Cuts back. Gets back to the line of scrimmage and maybe another yard. Did an awful lot of movement right, left, and not much forward and backwards as Ishmael Johnson comes up off the bottom of the pile with Chase Bono. And it is second down. And he really gained nothing. It's the second and goal from the 9. And here's flags everywhere. It's Mullaney dumping the ball off into the corner of the end zone. It is a touchdown. The pass is complete to Matt Reedy on the far sideline, but we'll see what all these flags are for.
Too many men on the field. Player down on the left end of the classical bench. Ran onto the field. Saw the play about to go on. Raced to get off the field. But Davis snapped the ball before he could do it. Flag went up immediately. But the result of the play was touchdown, so the penalty is refused. Touchdown, Danvers. Point after coming. And now it gets interesting, Marty.
9-yard touchdown pass. Justin Mullaney to Matt Reedy in the corner of the end zone.
And again, another mistake. Big penalty.
Yep.
Gave him 15 yards. Three plays later in the end zone.
Snap is down, the kick is up, and it is good for Zach Dillon. And we move to 22-14.
And suddenly that missed extra point for Glasgow on that last touchdown becomes bigger than ever.
5:57.
So again, the momentum shift back to Danvers.
Yeah.
Can they now stop Glasgow? Yeah.
Can they stay out of trouble? But this is I would say that if you talk about the staying out of trouble, Danvers has done a better job of not shooting themselves in the foot.
Yes,
they haven't done a great job, but they've done a better job than Classical has.
Yeah, it again controlling the emotions. Mm-hmm. They've done a better job of that than Classical has.
On the other hand, Danvers has taken the beating physically.
Oh, Phil Stacey mentioned the fact that there were four players taken out of the game so far. Three of them on Danvers. And again, Taj Coakley and Zach Dillon, two of the co-captains, limped off the field. We'll be interested to see if
Dillon's out there. He's going to kick off.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's snuck and he's waiting. With his foot. Wow. That's going to bounce down at the one, through the end zone, back behind the uprights. And if the fence wasn't there, I think we'd pick it up in a parking lot.
Well, Dylan came on and made the kick and did not follow the coverage team. He was walking down towards the 20-yard line with a little bit of a limp. He has a brace on his left knee.
Didn't affect his kicking leg.
Woo!
Wow. That's the kind of kick that you would expect to be wind-aided, but there is nothing.
No, he kicked that to the 10-yard line, and again, it rolled over for him and bounced out of play, or into the end zone for the touchback.
Yep. First and 10 from the 20 for Keith Ridley. He has a 6-point lead now with 5:57 to play here in the fourth quarter. Calls his own number. Puts his head down, gets to the line of scrimmage, and the entire Danvers defensive line, there are 9 guys involved in that tackle.
Well, I think based upon the last time Classical was deep in their territory, Ridley called his own number on consecutive plays and gained almost 25 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So play the odds, and there's another Danvers player on the ground.
Oh, my.
And he's not happy about his condition.
5 minutes and 41 seconds, yes, sir.
And that's senior Andrew Brennan.
So he's being attended to.
Yeah, he just beat up some blades of grass down there.
Bottom of the 10th, tied at 8. Between the Yankees and the Indians.
Cleveland.
We have to be careful. We are in the presence of a Yankees fan here.
That's all right. We have to have balance in the universe.
This is true. More football tomorrow afternoon. John Squires, Bill Newell from Bloxwich Field in Swampscott as Lynn English and the Big Blue of Swampscott take to the field. 2:30 kickoff shortly after 2 o'clock, the pregame, here on MSO News Sports. And then Sunday, probably around 10:30, we will have our Sunday morning roundtable review of last week. Of course, last week's roundtable could have been conducted in a phone booth with a lot of room left over, but we had a good time. So that gets posted Sunday morning. You get our feedback and our views of what's gone on this weekend. Last weekend was a little strange anyways because the weekend stretched over 3 days. And by the time it got to be Sunday, the game that I'd seen on Thursday was like in another eon. It actually was in another month.
Yeah.
But maybe that's what I'll blame it on.
Me too. I got caught up in the change of the month.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me you caught up in daylight savings time changing. And said,
well, that could have been it too. My whole biological clock may have been out of whack. You know.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook and download our new and improved MSO News Sports app for mobile access. Injured Danvers player makes his way off the field under his own power but limping and gets a very nice hand from a very full crowd here in Danvers, where we are at Morse Field at Deering Stadium.
Again, some final scores are coming in, and we'll get to those in a moment after this play.
Here's Ridley on 2nd and 9. Hands the ball off. Gives it off to Best, and Best is on his feet. We will get up to the 25, the 26. He gets swarmed. Abatessa makes the first hit off the bottom of the pile as Russell Canova for the Danvers Falcons. And it will set up 3rd down and 3. Back to the Moynihan Lumber scoreboard.
Okay, these are the finals that we have. Marblehead over Malden, 23-6. Revere over Medford, 29-7. Ipswich, 42-21 over Amesbury. We get time for one more. Natropa Tech over Essex Tech, 18-12.
Trips to the near side. Single receiver, far side. Ridley hangs on to the football. Runs left side. Has first down yardage. He's at the 40 and tripped up at the 40-yard line. Pulled down by his ankles by the Falcons on the far side. And that's Matt Reedy.
Outstanding read. Outstanding ball fake to Best again, who carried the fake out, who continued his run low, so Davis didn't know who had the ball, and Ridley just sort of slides off to the left side and again picks up a crucial first down for Lynn Klaska. Let's see, let's pick it up. Wakefield over Burlington, 43-21 against Spelman over Austin Prep, 26-0.
First and 10 from his own 40 for Ridley. Ridley hangs onto the football, has to put his head down. He'll get a yard or two. Was hoping that something would open up on the right, but nothing happened for him. Russell Canova off the bottom of the pile. And also Zach Dillon in from the defensive secondary makes the tackle. Second down and 8. The gain is 2. Ridley goes with no huddle, calls some signals, lifts up the left leg, puts a man in motion, jumps high, gives the ball off to Best, and Best is on his feet, spun around, gets down to the 40, to the 39, to the 38. Big pickup for Malcolm Best. And this time, he had the football and not the fake football, and was able to get downfield, tackled finally by Zach Dillon for the Falcons.
With 3:40 left in the game, this is really Malcolm Best time. He's your best running back. Give the ball to him. Let him run it. Let him do what he does best. He is really good at running up in between the tackles. We saw it there.
3:24 clock running here. Classical with a 6-point lead. Snap. Fake the handoff. Ridley hangs onto it. Gets down to the 30. He's got first down yardage. The ball's on the ground. And the Falcons are indicating that they have it, but we'll see what the officials say when they sort it out.
Ridley comes up off the pile with the ball.
With the ball. So it's a first down. Or very close to it. Official timeout here. It is, nope, timeout taken by the Falcons. We would like to tell you during the timeout that this year marks the 26th year. The Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete Award, Moynihan Lumber, supporting academic and athletic excellence on the North Shore. Tremendous, tremendous booster of high school sports and academics in northeastern Massachusetts, Moynihan Lumber.
Yeah, and again, 26 years, Gerald and his family are totally committed to recognizing excellence in the classroom, in addition to excellence on the field of athletics. And it's just not football. It's all sports that they take those winners out of.
We've gone 3/4, 7 minutes and 50 seconds before we've had a measurement for a first down. This is the first time they've brought the chains out.
They've been rather definitive first downs,
yes,
I guess we could say.
Yeah.
Salem 46-7 over Winthrop.
Speaking of definitive.
Archbishop Williams 41-20 over Bishop Fenwick. And those are the new ones that we have just gotten in.
You know, when the season started, we were talking about how many shutouts we had seen in the first few weeks, and now we're seeing these 40-point victories.
I know. Yeah, everybody's getting into offensive groove in the fifth week of the season here. Though we've seen, you know, some big scores throughout the first 4 weeks of the season, but they weren't consistently these big scores like we're seeing tonight. 1, 2, 3, 4... Four finals in already with the score in the 40s.
Second and inches for Keith Ridley. Does he call his own number and run through with it? He does. He's got first down yardage. He pushes the pile down inside the 27. He needed to get to the 29-yard, 2-foot, 6-inch marker.
Yeah, he likes running out to. He likes running to that right side of the line.
He's closer to the 27 than he is to the 26. 3 minutes clock running here.
He's got Nick LaBella over there, Javier Delgado, one of the co-captains, 210, 220 respectively. So these guys are bringing the beef when they fire off the line.
Pair receivers either side. Hand the ball off for Tucker, and he is met, blowing through the line. To get to him is Almaney Vargas for the Danvers Falcons. He's in place of Taj Coakley.
Well, he made a great read on that play. There had to be a key there that he saw, because he just shot right past the right tackle and hits the running back and drops him.
Robert Murphy comes out for the Falcons. Abatessa comes back in. Clock stopped at 2:37 here.
Running play. I thought it would have kept running.
Hmm.
Oh, official mark on the ball. Okay. That's an official stop of the clock.
So now we'll wind it back out.
Not sure why.
Second and 11 after all of that. Receivers to either side. And the handoff goes off for Tucker. And there's nothing there for him. Nobody home, and it's a loss. Put him back down to the 31-yard line.
Justin DiDomaso really blew that play up as he again shot up the middle. and disrupted the running play, and that allowed the outside linebackers on the right side to get penetration and bring the runner down. Glasgow's going in the wrong direction on the last couple of plays.
Danvers calls timeout with it going to be 3rd and 15 as the Falcons wanted to stop the clock here because they've got a chance at getting this football back. They are down by 6, 20-14 here in Danvers on gorgeous, gorgeous October night. If we'd been doing this a couple of nights ago, it would have been under that full harvest moon.
You wouldn't be howling, would you?
Probably.
Okay.
I think somewhere along the line I've done a Thanksgiving, I've done a Halloween game in Salem, which was a hoot.
Wait a minute. A game was a hoot?
Oh, well, I didn't mean it that way. I just got,
wow.
Just got lost. I'm easily distracted. Our weekly North Shore Sports Talk show is North Shore Sports Night, Monday evenings at 7. The ball is at the 31. They need to get to the 22. Don't make that the 17 for a first down. Clock stopped with 2:29, a six-point lead here for the Classical Rams. And now we've got the official signaling for time again. And timeout will be taken by Classical.
Well, we've gotten a score from the St. George Prep Catholic Memorial game. And again, after spotting Catholic Memorial a 7-0 lead, St. George Prep has scored 35 consecutive points. They take a 35-10 lead over Catholic Memorial at the end of three quarters. Pentucket boys defeated Hamilton Wenham in soccer today, 2-1.
I would have to say, with all of the injuries, and we haven't seen, it's been a lot of activity on the ground, but this game has taken a while.
Yes, it has.
But the other thing is, running with no huddle, which Classical does constantly, they get off a lot of plays.
Yeah.
And Danvers has not really done much of a traditional huddle, and when they do huddle up, it's very brief. The play call comes in, it's, here's what we're going to do, and the center is already out of the huddle, I think, before most of the times by the time quarterback steps into the huddle, the center's out already.
That's where you hope for really good lines of communication.
I know.
Melrose and Stoneham are going into overtime with Melrose got the ball first.
3rd and 15. Fake the handoff. Ridley looking under pressure. Abatessa wraps him up. Abatessa drills him to the ground. Franco Abatessa with Elmaney Vargas pause the sack, and it will be fourth down, and they'll make his official forward progress to the 36-yard line. And now there's some conversation with Coach Ryan Nolan about something, maybe the spot, or now we've got timeout taken here. Another timeout taken by Classical, because the situation for Classical is there's 2 minutes and 8 seconds to play in regulation time. The ball is at the 38. First down is at the 17. It is 4th and 21.
Well, those are three consecutive plays where Classical went backwards on, and not the way you want to play ball control, ball concession to run out the game certainly. The guy's going to have to give the ball back to Danvers and, again, make some big stops, either get a turnover or take the ball back from Danvers, have them turn it over. Melrose and Stoneham, I guess, as I said, are going to overtime. Melrose scored, but the PAT failed, so they are up 44-38 over Stoneham, and Stoneham now has the ball, and we'll see what they can do for it.
We just crawled into the Wayback Machine, and there's 2 minutes and 13 seconds left here in regulation time. After the timeout, Classical will be looking for the big play. They would love to just hang on to this football for the next 2 minutes and 13 seconds, but they're going to need a big play in 21 yards to keep possession of this and to keep the Danvers offense off the field. Ridley with the empty backfield. steps once, steps twice, puts a man in motion to the near side, fakes the handoff, has the football. He's on his feet at the 30, at the 20, inside the 20, for the 5, to the end of the end zone, touchdown.
Well, a breakdown in the tackling for Davis. No one went for his ankles. They all went for the upper body, and at 6'3", 215, as we mentioned, again, when he gets momentum, he's awful tough to bring down. And Davis failed to go for the low tackle to take his feet out from underneath him. And Ridley, on fourth and forever, runs right up the middle of the Davis defense. And again, just kept shedding would-be tacklers and into the end zone for the game clinching. Well, we would have to believe would be the game clinching touchdown, which 2:04 left. Not that Davis can't come back, but now you suddenly find yourself, instead of trailing by 6, you are now going to trail by 12 and possibly 13 points, which is going to make that comeback even more difficult.
Johnson, the kicker. Ishmael Johnson kicks out of the hold of Keith Ridley. And now they're calling Johnson back to the sideline, and Classical has taken a timeout here. And do you, if you're Classical and you're Brian Vaughn, you've had one kick not go, do you go for two here where you've got a 12-point lead, or do you try for the one?
Well, I guess two schools of thought. Take the kick, nip 13. It still takes two scores to beat you. There's 2 minutes left. Even if Davis is able to score quickly, you're going to get the ball back, and can you run the clock out? Otherwise, the other side of the coin is you go for two, you get the two, you're two scores up. They now have to go touchdown, go for two, touchdown,
and
get
two.
A single one to beat you.
Johnson's been called back. Quarterback Keith Ridley.
And guess who's going to probably run this ball?
Well, they put Butler in there, and they hand the ball off through the line.
they gave it to a lineman. Did the quick snap to number 54, Dennis Pierce, a junior offensive lineman. 6'3", 250, was like giving the ball to Refrigerator Perry back in the 1985 season for the Chicago Bears. And he just bulled his way over the left side of the Davis defensive line for 2 points. Oh, there's a moment for that young man. He can now brag he scored points in a win, in a critical win for the Lynn Classical Rams. Now up 28-14. Melrose has come back and beat Stoneham 44-38 in overtime. That's a final, folks.
Ishmael Johnson will kick the football off to the Falcons. 7-0 Classical at the first quarter. Tied at second at the half. 14-7 Classical on top at the third quarter. And now with 2 minutes and 4 seconds to play, Classical's doubled up on Danvers 28-14.
Well, Phil Stays is reporting Ridley has 180 yards rushing tonight for Lynn Classical.
So now, if you're Classical, you have to guard against the big kickoff return. Here's Johnson. Puts his boot into it. High, long, fielded cleanly at the 11-yard line. Taken there by McCarthy. McCarthy cuts over to the right side. A flag on the play, and he's down at the 18-yard line.
Again, that was a very definitive takedown by the Lynn Classical coverage team as McCarthy tried to go from near side here, left to right, and just chased down from behind and slammed to the turf. Trying to see what had to be a block
illegal,
in the back.
Illegal use of the hands.
Okay.
Against the Falcons.
So that'll back him up. Again, just trying to make something happen. Mm-hmm. And again, it's when that returner tries to go across the field, you get your coverage team shifts direction and your blockers have to sort of shift with them, and that's when you get those blocks as they're trying to readjust the blocking scheme.
So that makes first down at their own 9-yard line for Justin Mullaney. Single back, 5-yard drop back for Mullaney. He will actually put the ball in play from his own two. The snap is up over his head. It's in the end zone. It's out of, out of the end zone, but he fires the ball downfield. It is complete to Matt Reedy, and Reedy brings it in at the 21-yard line, and it's a first down.
Well, I'll tell you, Mullaney kept his head. He chased it down. He managed to keep his feet from going outside of the back of the end zone because he was very close from our vantage point. Had enough calm about him to look up the field and saw the receiver uncovered at about the 19-yard line. Got the ball to him cleanly. Classical defense, when they saw the ball go over the head, the secondary stopped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought the momentum of the ball was going to take it out of the end zone.
Again, great hustle play by Malik. Didn't give up on the plays. He didn't give up on the pick six.
And Reedy stepped out of bounds to stop the clock. Firing again, far sideline. It's incomplete. Intended receiver again, Matt Reedy. But the coverage, very nicely done there by Marcus Tucker for English. 1:44 clock stopped on the incompleted pass. But the task ahead of the Denver Falcons as they trail by 14 is formidable.
Yeah, again, they've got to go sideline with completed passes and get out of bounds, just sort of chip you. Unfortunately, that takes a lot of time. But again, if it's a quick pass, get you near first down, get out of bounds, stop the clock, and do it again and again and again.
Rolling back is Mullaney. Just dumps it off over the middle. It's complete and up to the 26-yard line. And that is complete to Colby Holland for the Falcons. Ishmael Johnson makes the tackle, assist to Cam Green. It's third and three. Clock continuing to run here. Quick snap to Mullaney. Fires far sideline, and it is incomplete, I think.
Yep. Side judge on that side waves it off.
Yep. So it'll stop the clock, but it makes it fourth down and three for Danvers.
Matt Reedy thought he had his arms under the ball, but official on that sideline said no.
Fourth and three, the ball at the 28-yard line, 75 seconds to play in the football game. A 14-point lead for Classical. A beautiful Deering Stadium in Danvers. Marty Smith, Tim Kearns, Bill Newell.
Bill Stemmer, kind of like lost him.
Yeah, he's gone down. He's taking up residence with Phil Stacy, I think, on the bench.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe he might be on this sideline, actually. All right. Handoff, no. Keeping it is Mullaney. Mullaney wants to turn and get first down yardage. Let's see if he does.
Again, if you're going to do that running play, you've got to plan it so you can get out of bounds and stop the clock.
Yeah, stop it with the movement of the chains because it is first down. Well, they're going to put the clock back in motion.
So once they start that process, they move it.
So now McCarthy splits wide. The ball is loose off the snap. Back after it is Mullaney. He's going to have to fall on it.
Ugh.
Back at his 9-yard line.
All you had to do was touch him. He was, defenseless player lying on the ball. And the Classical player came over and just jumped on top of him. Flag immediately goes to the ground. You're going to give him 15 yards now from the line of scrimmage.
And instead of the ball being down at the 14-yard line.
Yeah, instead of it being first and forever.
Yep. Yeah, because it would have been second. I've lost track of the downs, but the line of the first down yardage would have been at the 41, and they're at the play would have rolled off from the 14.
Now, is it going to be from the original line of scrimmage, or is it going to be from the point of where the ball was recovered by the quarterback? And it's from the point of where the quarterback recovered it.
No, he's walking it off from the 30.
He's walking it off from the original line of scrimmage, so that's going to put it.
So that's to the 46-yard line. 51 seconds on the scoreboard clock. A tough, tough penalty. And one of those that, even though you're leading by 14 points,
again, it's the practice of the discipline.
Yep.
Because if you do it in this situation, odds are you're going to do it in a tighter situation as well.
Mullaney has time, steps up, looks, doesn't have a receiver, comes to the near side, on the left, heads to the sideline, and he's out at the 46-yard line.
Smart play, Marcus Tucker. Again, the guys next was just making the same comment, broadcasting in Danvers. Again, he as he got to the sideline and Mulaney was heading out of bounds, he pulls up and puts his hands on the air so he doesn't make any unnecessary contact with the clock moving.
Stops the clock, second down and two with 36 seconds remaining in this game, 28-14, classical on top of the Danvers Falcons. Two undefeated teams, but this is a non-conference game for both of them. Colby Holland, way wide to the right side. Winged out, flanked out is Reedy. Snap again a little bit high to Mulaney. Has some time to throw. Tucks it in, fires it downfield, long, long, and out of bounds at the 21-yard line, 16-yard line.
Intended. Classical defense playing the prevent down the field, but again, with enough presence up front to force Mulaney to sprint out to his right. And again, he threw on the run, and his momentum going towards the sideline carried that pass out of bounds. When he's tried to roll to that right side and throw back into the field, that's when he's been picked twice.
Third and two. Senior night here at Danvers. There's a flag thrown way back in the Danvers backfield. So we'll wait for the call there. Personal foul against the Falcons. And if that's the case, that just about puts the nail into it. The Falcons would have had third and two. Instead, the ball is now at the 39, and it is third and 15, 16, 17. 15-yard call on the personal foul. 28 seconds. Danvers trails by 14. Danvers goes to Beverly, who will be there next Saturday afternoon, a 3 o'clock start.
Beverly has a very big game tomorrow against Somerville.
Yeah.
They're looking to right the ship. They're 1-3. They've lost some tough games. They got dominated in the fourth quarter by Marblehead to the tune of 30-0. Talking to Coach Morenci yesterday, he said, you know, it was 7-0 in the third quarter, and all of a sudden, you know, Clove just really just took over the game. And they weren't expecting to see Clough behind center, and he just really was the difference in that ball game.
McCarthy, wide right, one back with Mulaney on third and 18. The snap again gets up there now. Here's Mulaney looking, doesn't have a receiver, now finds one up short, and it is complete to Zach Dillon. And they will give him first down yardage. So the ball goes to the 43-yard line on classical side of midfield where it's a fresh first and 10, but the clock is running with 18 seconds. Mulaney looks, scrambles around, doesn't have a receiver, hears footsteps, and oh my, is he just clocked. He is clocked by Natural Allen, who has had a very big game for Classical, and that is the note that this football game will end upon as the Lynn Classical Rams take the victory over the Danvers Falcons here at Danvers. Classical moves to 5-0 on the season. Danvers takes their first loss and drops to 4-1. We'll be back to wrap it up next on High School Football Friday Night on MSONewsSports.com.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Be sure to check out North Shore Sports Night every Monday night at 7. The North Shore Sports Talk Show with Rick Moore and Tim Kearns.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Compelling exhibits, thought-provoking programs, all celebrating Lynn's past while promoting a vision for its future. I'm Drew Russo, Executive Director of the Lynn Museum and Lynn Arts, and I invite you to visit our campus located in the heart of the downtown Lynn Cultural District with galleries at 590 Washington Street and 25 Exchange Street. Currently, we are featuring the Vision Place of Souls, Civil War landscapes by local artist Jeff Fioravanti through December 22nd at the museum, and rotating shows from local artists in the Lynn Arts Gallery. We're open Tuesdays to Fridays 10 to 4 and Saturdays 9 to 1. Visit us online at lynnmuseum.org.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn. The following is a paid political announcement from Lynn City Councilor at Large, Brian LaPierre.
Since I have been elected, we have made progress. The city is growing, but there is much work to still do. Small businesses are flourishing. We've created local jobs and continue to fight for working families all across Lynn. I have responded personally to over 1,000 constituent requests, but the work doesn't stop there. We need to keep our streets safer and our neighborhoods cleaner. We have to maintain our public services while keeping taxes affordable. The people of Lynn deserve a high level of representation. I am Brian LaPierre, and I'm running for re-election for Lynn City Councilor at Large, and I respectfully ask for one of your four votes on Tuesday, November 7th.
At Dr. Deering Stadium in Danvers, final score 28 for the Lynn Classical Rams and 14 for the Danvers Falcons. Here's how it wound out. 6:05 of the first quarter, 38-yard touchdown run by Keith Ridley's first 38 out of 197 yards. That's got to be you then that's disconnected.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
So 38-yard run by Ridley. Ishmael Johnson's point after attempt is good. It's 7-0. Ridley would go on to have three touchdowns and 197 yards in rushing. First quarter, 7-0. Denver's gets on the scoreboard at 7:18 when Taj Coakley blocks a punt. Picks up the ball, runs 28 yards, and for the touchdown, Zach Dillon's kick is good, and we go into the half at 7-7. 8:27 to play in the third quarter. Ishmael Johnson swipes the ball out of the air on an interception, 49-yard interception return, makes it 13-7. He then puts the ball between the uprights, and we're at 14-7 at the end of the third quarter. Then it really starts to get, the scoreboard starts to light up in the fourth quarter. Ridley's second touchdown, a three-yard keeper with 7:42 to play in the game, makes it 20-7. The kick is no good. It's short and goes underneath the uprights. 5:57, Danvers gets that one back, a nine-yard touchdown pass. Mulaney to Reedy on the corner of the end zone, makes it 20-13. Zach Dillon's kick makes it 20-14. That would be it for the Falcons. 2:04 remaining, a 41-yard touchdown run by Ridley, makes it 26-14. And then Dennis Pierce, a lineman, gets the two-point conversion. Our final score, 28-14. On the season, Lynn Classical now 5-0 on the season, and the Danvers Falcons drop to 4-1. Non-conference game, but it was a tremendous football game here. Hard, hard fought. A lot of battered and bruised guys in that locker room tonight. And they're going to look pretty. They're going to be very much black, blue, and purple come Sunday.
That was the comment I was going to make. They wake up tomorrow. It's going to be a slow hog dragging themselves.
out of bed. Okay, one more time before we go, give you the wrap-up on for the Moynihan scorebet as to what we have for finals and for late scores. Of course, it ended up 28-14 here. Masco 35-7 over Peabody. Salem 46-7 over Winthrop. Marblehead 23-6 over Malden. Revere 29-7 over Medford. Last we saw was St. John's Prep leading Catholic Memorial 35-10. Archbishop William over Fenwick 41-20. Ipswich over Amesbury 42-21. Newburyport over Frighton 19-13. Linfield, law school we had was 35-14 over Manchester Essex. And Sober Tech over Essex Tech 18-12. Everett Big over Lowell, 55-27. Wakefield over Burlington, 43-21. In overtime, Melrose over Stoneham, 44-38. And Spelman over Austin Prep, 26-0. Remember, we're back on the air tomorrow at 2:30 game from Bloxwich Field in Swampscott. Lynn English at the Big Blue. And that is another contest of two 4-0 teams. Marty?
It was.
And? In the American League playoffs, it's now the top of the 12th, tied at 8.
How about those Red Sox? So
that wraps it up from here. The final score is Lynn Classical has defeated Danvers by a count of 28-14. He's Tim Kearns. Bill Newell has been with us. I'm Marty Smith, bidding you a very pleasant good evening from Danvers on MSONewsSports.com.